My father told me when I was a child, people in authority lie. And we all, if we are going to continue to live in a democracy, we need to understand that people in authority lie. People in authority will abuse every power that we relinquish to them. And right now, we are giving them the power to micromanage every bit of our lives 24 hours a day. They're going to know where we are. They're going to know the money that we spend. They're going to have access to our children. They're going to have the right to compel unwanted medical interventions on us. We, you know, the Nazis did that in the camps in World War II. They tested vaccines on gypsies and Jews. And the world was so horrified after the war that we signed the Nuremberg Charter. And we all pledge when we do that, we would never again impose unwanted medical interventions on human beings without informed consent. And yet in 2 years, all of that conviction has suddenly disappeared. And people are walking around in masks where the science has not been explained to them. They are doing what they're told. They are these government agencies are orchestrating obedience. And it is not democratic. It's not the product of democracy. It's the product of a pharmaceutical-driven biosecurity agenda that will enslave the entire human race and plunge us into a dystopian nightmare where the apocalyptical forces of ignorance and greed will be running our lives and ruining our children and destroying all the dreams and dignity that we hope to give to our children.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Saturday, August 7th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. Apologies for the delay. I won't waste your time with how it happens every single time seemingly these days. Everything crashed and I had to restart everything. Not a joke. That's the fourth time now that's happened within moments of going live on my show. It's unbelievably ridiculous. So I apologize about the delay. Won't stop me regardless. We're going to keep going one way or another. But it's amazing how this keeps happening. We're seeing it all across the board today at a lot of different locations and a lot of different streamers. But unfortunately, I had to reset up all the background stuff. But let's get right into it today. There's a lot to talk about, a lot of vindication today, which kind of seems to be an ongoing thing in this an ongoing process in the evolution of the COVID-19 discussion. It's just everything we continue to talk about. And I'm not saying we are screaming this is the fact and absolute. We're discussing things. Can this cause anaphylactic shock? Could this possibly lead to myocarditis? Right? Based on the scientific research, censored, fake news, absolutely crazy, ridiculous. And then it slowly drips into, well, maybe it causes that or kind of does. Or maybe here's some examples of that. And now we look back and go, obviously, this was a problem. And you should have known about that before you were forced to take this thing. We're going to go through a lot of this stuff today in regard to claims we've already been telling you, including the variant discussion and where that seems to be coming from based on the scientific research. And we're going to show you a couple points, Joe Rogan being one of them, of people that are, you know, tripping into this reality now because something that somebody sent them. And I just want to show you how frustrating it is that we have been screaming about this information. And in a large setting, by the way, millions of people are watching this content, and yet it's still not getting into what you want to call the mainstream. But then we have somebody like Joe Rogan kind of talk about something that we've been censored for, and it's still out there, YouTube and all, which is a good thing that it's out there, but it shows you the way that they're trying to control the flow of the information. So today is a very vindicating show. We're going to go through a lot of big points like that today in regard to the variants, in regard to your actual risk, in regard to this entire topic. The natural immunity topic again, and a lot of the information that they don't want you to see. Now, and this is, of course, a lot of it centered right around the vaccine. Now, I want to start off today with something that I made a mistake on. And this is very important, as we always do on this show. Something that we will always continue to do is it all, whenever possible, if I'm aware of it, is correct things that we make mistakes on. Now, in a lot of cases, this is stuff that we talk about kind of offhandedly, you know, kind of just discussing these things in real time, and mistakes are made. And I'll always circle back and correct these 9 times out of 10. These are opinions that I'm expressing. Now, in this case, I was simply wrong, and I want to show you what I mean here. Now, it's important, and this is the big difference between what mainstream or any other people, independent or otherwise, are doing out there today and what we will constantly try to strive for. And that's always correcting these kind of errors. Because everybody will make mistakes. I think the mainstream media is, you know, batting 1,000 in that regard right now, but they will never come back and be like, oh, here's where we were wrong. And that's what makes good research, good journalism, is your ability to recognize and correct and grow and change based on new evolving information. Applies to science in the same way, doesn't it? Because things change. Pictures can change. Now, in this case, here's where my mistake was, and this, we just talked about this. Now, this is still important information, by the way, and it does not change the validity of all the other points I made around this topic, but this is talking about the mortality and morbidity information in regard to adolescents age 12 to 17, and this is the specific time frame, December 14th, 2020, July 16th. Now, here's the mistake that I made. Well, really, it was a mistake I made on the fly while I was going over this, is that this is based on 8.9 million U.S. adolescents age 12 to 17, who had received the Pfizer injection. Now, they got 9,246 Thayer's reports from within that 8.9 million. Now, from those 9,246 reports, 10% of those adverse events they had within that, or those 10% almost of those 9,000 reports were serious. I still find that to be absolutely crazy, but it's not 10% of any child anywhere getting this injection. Now, that was something that's a mistake I made while reading that, and that's important to correct. I was wrong. Right? Does not change the fact that there's a lot of information around the events, the adverse events, the effects of the injections that are being hidden from us, that are being stifled, attacked, ignored. And we're going to go through 100 of those points today. So it's easy to recognize that they're hiding and manipulating things, but it's still important that we are accurate and we report this to you. And the same point down here was the 40% of the myocarditis. Now, that again is based on the reports. Not everybody everywhere, but that's still outrageous. You're telling me that of all the adverse reports that people had, which are a lot today, remember, we have over 500,000 reports on VAERS. They'll scream, but they're not verified, and then never look into them. But guess what? They're using those same reports here. So if this is valid discussion, so too are they. The point being that 40% of those reports in this case were myocarditis. That's not some small side category thing. And that's crazy. Then ask yourself, if 40% of the adverse events they're talking about were myocarditis, kind of seems odd that you can claim that only 10% were serious, because myocarditis is quite serious, in my opinion, regardless of whether itself is severe in the category of myocarditis. Any inflammation of the heart seems like a severe side effect to me. In any case, I don't want to waste too much time on this. It's important, guys, that we always circle back and make sure we're clear on this, because that is what we're all about. Now, just because people make mistakes does not mean that they're somehow now unable to be trusted or listened to. It's always about your discernment, your ability to look at this and correct it, to think about it. And that is why I always provide all of the source material in everything that we do. Oh, well, this isn't, where's an article I have here somewhere? Yeah. So you'll see in everything I do, we always have all the links listed below for you to research. Now, on that same point, let's point out a mistake that Associated Press just made. Nearly all COVID deaths in the U.S. are now among the unvaccinated. Somebody just pointed this out to me. Thank you so much for this, because I wouldn't have even seen this had they not pointed out to me. And neither will the people who are citing this as absolute fact for what this title is saying, which is the opposite of the reality. Based on all the evidence, which we're going to get into again today from Israel and a lot of locations, showing you that, in fact, 95% of the severe cases they're having in Israel right now are vaccinated. Hard to challenge that. But this was the article that says, for those on the podcast, nearly all COVID deaths in the U.S. are now among unvaccinated. And I pointed this out, that this is citing incomplete information from, I believe, only 45 states, most of which are not really engaged in any kind of uniform reporting, some of which are not even really active. And then the CDC itself said, well, that's not complete. We don't even have all the data. No one's really doing the same thing, so it's not even reportable. And AP said, well, we're going to gather it and give our set consensus. And then said, well, it looks like mostly vaccinated. And then everybody shared it. Fauci and everybody else, this is what they said, 99.2%. It's not a valid statement. That's why even the CDC didn't report it. So here's the point. That's what this was from. Now, guess what? Even what they said then was wrong. Shockingly enough, they actually put a correction at the very bottom, which that's enough. As long as they put a correction, by the way, nobody does that in the mainstream anymore. This story was first published on June 24th. It was updated June 29th to correct the number of, guess what? Hospital admissions. You know, the thing everybody's freaking out about right now? They changed it. And I like how they put to more than 107,000, which is interesting, but not 853,000. Excuse me, 853,000. Exactly. So you're telling, so they reported that it was almost a million. Oops, our bad. It was maybe 100,000. Quite a mistake, isn't it? And the percentage of hospitalized people who've been vaccinated, they changed that from 1.1 to 1.1% from 0.1%. So the argument is only 0.1 is the problem. Well, that's a huge jump. Now, by the way, even that is not something you should take at face value. That's not accurate. In my opinion, it's absolutely wrong based on everything else we can see, because this is based on reported data from people. Like, look, if we're going to dismiss Veyer's data because it's from people reporting, it's the same concept. But bottom line is, that's a huge mistake. So whether you want to look at it like this and say the Associated Press, mainstream media, or rather the mainstream where even the channels get their data from, which is the Associated Press, Reuters, can make a mistake like that, and even they did correct it, the reality is that this is something that's happening all the time, and it's really about whether you can update it and come back and be honest about it. But this is a crazy mistake showing you that they're could be wrong. Now ask yourself this, if they could be wrong, you know, by about 700,000 reported hospitalizations, do you think they could be wrong about maybe the entire thing? Maybe, huh? Maybe that's something we should be considering, but you're not allowed to consider that today. Absolutely crazy. Now, before we get back into everything else, I wanted to give a quick shout out to a fantastic roundtable we had with Eva Bartlett, Vanessa Bealey, and Kevork Kalmasian from Syriana Analysis. And it was a fantastic discussion entitled Syria Roundtable Interview, Fighting War Propaganda for Mainstream and Independent Media Alike. And this is really kind of pushing back against all of the information that's been coming out in regard to Syria lately from even independent media. Stuff that's just so completely disconnected. And from a lot of people that are out there arguing that we're being lied to about all sorts of things in Syria, and yet come out and talk about it. That's a police state and evil dictator. And it's just, it is absolutely disconnected from reality. And as you guys know, I'm even in contrast to some of the people in this round table, I don't trust any government, including the Syrian government. I don't trust any president, including President Assad. I don't think any government today, that's my opinion personally, truly is out for your best intentions if it goes against their intentions. It's about the agenda of the government. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're the most altruistic thing in the history. I just don't buy that. But nonetheless, what we're being fed, even from independent media about Syria, is wrong. The ones we're talking about anyway. The reality on the ground is quite obvious, and you should listen to these people, the experts on the topic, and listen to the other people as well. Come to your own conclusions about what makes more sense based on what we can prove. That's what matters. Great, great interview. And thank you to all three of them for joining me. I thought it was first time I'd actually spoken to Kevork in person in an interview. I thought it was fantastic. Please check it out. Now, one more point on foreign policy. One quick point before we jump right back into... Well, I guess I forgot I want to point those out too. Well, two more points before we get to COVID-19. This is crazy because this is something we keep pointing out. I actually want to talk to Robert possibly about this on the show. B-52s lead new U.S. air power onslaught to stop the Taliban. You mean that Taliban that Biden was just in dealings with, that Trump was just in dealings with? You know, the Taliban that they said was going to destroy our freedom, and that's why they invaded the country, and now they were in process and deals and talks with them, despite them not being any different than they were 20 years ago. Yeah, exactly. That's the kind of U.S. thing they do. It's about going, well, you know, we care about stopping terrorism until there's a deal on the table that can benefit us. And then we don't care about it anymore. But oh, now we do again because it doesn't work for us. This is how it shows you that they don't really care about what they want you to think they care about. It's about the agenda on the table. So we're right back in there. What happened to leaving Afghanistan? It went from Trump to Obama to Trump to Biden, and everyone says it and nobody does it. Of course, because, oh, we're going to leave, and then, oop, look what just happened. Now we can't. You think that's a coincidence every single time? I mean, this is just utterly ridiculous. And don't forget that what we talked about on this show, the only reason the Taliban is in this position because they were willing to deal with the U.S. government is because Biden made the choice to overtly break the deal. There was a timeline which they chose to just ignore. And had they met the timeline, the Taliban was completely in line with making this deal. And they just said, nah, we don't care. Why? Because they don't want to leave Afghanistan. I've been saying that from the beginning, guys. It's all a big shell game of propaganda. Here we go, just in. U.S. sends B-52 bombers, Spectre gunships in a desperate bid to stop the advance of Taliban on three key cities. Right. So who's the real occupiers here? Right. So who's stopping who? Now, I'm not saying the Taliban is somebody you should be supporting, but there's a lot of people in Afghanistan that do support the Taliban. Right. And maybe at the end of the day, what do we know about this group? That in no way am I trying to pretend they're anything other than we may know about them. But I just want you to understand that it all comes from the very group that's illegally occupying the country. We are fed information about what this is. The reality true on the ground before this happened was the Taliban had eradicated almost entirely the opium fields. Complete, almost entirely gone because it was eradicated. The people were struggling. It's a problematic situation for people like we saw in China and throughout history. And so they stopped it. Guess what? The U.S. invaded and just like that, increased by almost 97%. That's an actual figure. And then weirdly correlated almost exactly with the rise of the opioid crisis. What do you know about stuff like that? You know, but whatever. We're all fighting for freedom, you know. But let's jump back into this topic because I think this is important. And this is around the COVID-19 topic. Shout out to Press for Truth. I haven't done a lot of work with them in a long time. I don't even think I've interviewed him before. We should definitely connect. Out of Canada, doing a great job. Would love to have him on Super U, by the way, if he wants to reach out. Quote, I wasn't successful. No, I did not win the court case, Patrick King on Press for Truth. Isn't this interesting? Because we've seen a lot of people out there, the Stu Peters, and these, a lot of people out there interviewing these discussions and seemingly aggressively misrepresenting them. So good for Dan Dix for setting this up and showing you the reality. I mean, isn't that quite interesting that it just takes the willingness to kind of really suss out the information? So I'd recommend you check this out for yourself. Patrick King has been trending on Twitter due to a viral video where it is claimed that the province of Alberta rolled back on their lockdown measure as a result of Patrick's court proceedings. And this is not true. As Patrick states, quote, I wasn't successful. No, I did not win the court case. Now, isn't that interesting? So why would everybody misrepresent this? Well, my gut would tell me because this would be something that would share and that people would promote and it would promote a specific agenda. And that's the problem. So great job, Press for Truth, for finding the truth, right? Exactly like his namesake, right? Pressing in for the truth. We appreciate that. Moving forward again, I want to show you some information from Denny Rancourt, showing you to start this off today that Canada, on that same note, if you're the point being is that this is, despite the fact that this is not accurate, does not mean that the point they're trying to make with incorrect information could not be also true, right? Lying for people's truth is what we see a lot today. Here's that point. Denny Rancourt, PhD, who I've had on the show. Analysis of all-cause mortality by week in Canada, 2010, all the way to 2021 by province, age, and sex, quote, or not quote, but there was no COVID-19 pandemic. It is basically a quote from the research. And there is strong evidence of response-caused deaths in the most elderly and the young males. Now, I'm going to read you some parts of this. Please read this for yourself because there's a lot of great stuff. And Denny Rancourt is one of the best people to be listening to right now. He's knocking it out of the park. What it basically boils down to is based on the real-world data that they have extensively researched, all of it's in there for you, they can see quite clearly that there wasn't a pandemic and that the evidence actually points to response-caused deaths, such as lockdowns, isolation, and so on. Here's what it says. We analyzed all-cause mortality by week for Canada and for the Canadian provinces and by age, group, and sex from January 2010 through March 2021 in comparison with data for other countries and their regions or counties. We find that there is no extraordinary surge in yearly or seasonal mortality in Canada, which can be ascribed to a COVID-19 pandemic, and that several prominent features in the ACM/W in the COVID-19 period exhibit anomalous province to province heterogeneity, one of those weird ones that just from my mouth just has trouble with, that is irreconcilable with the known behavior of epidemics of viral respiratory diseases, VRDs, for future discussion in this article. We conclude that a pandemic did not occur. That's incredible. And the data backs this up. Basically an anomaly is what they're talking about. Like, this doesn't add up based on what they're trying to tell you. Sound familiar? Every other part of this entire discussion in this pandemic are just the same way. I wanted to look at that again. I forgot what this was. Oops, CM. Analysis of ACM. all-cause mortality. That's right. It's right there in the first part. I just want to make sure we're all clear on this, the acronyms as we go forward, or maybe just me, in fact. It says, in addition, our analysis of the all-cause mortality by week, by province, age, and sex allows us to highlight anomalies occurring during the COVID-19 period, which provides strong evidence that among the most elderly, 85 years and plus, many died from the immediate response to the pandemic that was announced by the WHO. Right. So basically what they're saying, and this is why you don't see these kind of things. This is why you're not seeing these real world analyses of all of the information, right? Comparing all the previous years and all the month to month, age to age. This did happen. Remember in the beginning? And they got shut down. There was that one researcher that came out and said, look, when you actually break down the data, not just by year, but break it down by age, there is no spike in over 70 death. There's no way that makes any sense. And all they did was say, fake news, count the, remove it. Challenge. They attacked it in every possible way, except actually attacking the data, as always, which is called an ad hominem attack. Now, jumping down, and I really hope you'll read this entirely. It's in entirety. I just want to show you one quick point on the results and just basically what they find. On the results, it says right down here. Well, I think I just skipped it, actually. Okay. There it is. Okay. Bottom line, it says no detectable pandemic increase in the yearly and seasonal mortality. You can look at this stuff for yourself. And the incredible part about this is they're still trying to pretend that this is hype dangerous or that this is the biggest pandemic in a century. And if you have to squint your eyes real carefully and hold it right in the light just to make it look that way, then it's probably not what you think it is. And that's where we are. And just one thing I wanted to read was right here. We have, not that one, right here. We conclude that there was no COVID-19 pandemic in Canada. It would be difficult to conclude otherwise. Either a pandemic causes a significant increase in deaths or there was not a pandemic. Barring the many unscientific false beliefs and effective public health interventions for VRDs. Let us make this point further by showing the anomalous province-to-province intra-seasonal variations by the mortality by time. I already blanked on what it was again, ACM, but it's mortality, which occur in the COVID or nominal pandemic period. Please take the time to go through all of this. I was going to do it in the show, but I figured it would just take too much time. But I want you guys to read this in general and understand that the data itself is hard to ignore. But all they're going to do is tell you he's fake news. He's been debunked. We don't listen to the people we don't like. The data is all that matters. Now, I want to show you this point because it was something that I was trying to show you the other day and I completely skipped right past it. And I find that to be hilarious. But there's a couple of these I keep seeing. And I just think it's kind of humorous to start this off where we see a lot of these, what they'd call Freudian slips, if you will, where they're sort of, you know, they're saying that the vaccine is the problem. But I'm sure people, oh, well, they didn't mean that. They meant the variant or the virus, right? Well, let's look at what she says here. And you'll remember this clip from the last show.
Based on public health, current public health, Florida just hit and designed to impose new mask mandates and other means of keeping people protected. Does the White House have any reaction to Governor DeSantis, and particularly to his point that this is just seasonal in Florida because people are hot, so they're staying indoors and transmitting the vaccine?
She clearly says transmitting the vaccine. I just find that funny because it keeps happening and it doesn't mean necessarily anything, but I wanted to show you this from the other day because I thought it was Jen Psaki that said it, but it's interesting that we keep seeing that happen. Now, going forward, I just want to include that. This was the other clip we have. I don't necessarily need to play it. We played it in the last show where Biden says the same thing, you know, keeping us safe from the vaccine. And it's just interesting. Now, here's another clip from Psaki where she very clearly states the vaccine could kill you, which we know, but it's interesting that they don't like to say that out loud.
Communicating directly with those people, hence our special guest today, about why it's important to get vaccinated, why these vaccines are safe, why they can still kill you, even if you are under the age of 27. We need to be clear and direct about our messaging. There is misinformation.
I mean, you know, so they can still kill you. Now, was that a mistake? I mean, that's just pretty ridiculous. I mean, yes, we know that, but they don't seem to be telling you that. I mean, death is obviously a side effect that they even had listed on the FDA information, but I find that to be pretty interesting. Here's another one you'll probably really appreciate. Now, this one is just crazy. I mean, this is, of course, you know what's interesting? We've gotten to a point now where because we all kind of realize that Biden is clearly troubled, his mind is mush at this point, and it's just rambling off nonsensical things all the time. And it's got to the point to where he's not even considered misinformation and fake news now. He just says dumb things. We go, well, Biden, you know, he's old. It's like, that's crazy. This is really embarrassing from anybody on any spectrum, including those that realize both sides are false, that it's embarrassing for Americans. To have somebody like this standing up where all the world can see that this guy can barely tie his own shoes and we're pretending like this guy's leading the country. I mean, he makes a huge mistake here, but you could one time you could go, well, it was a gaffe. He made a mistake. Everybody does it. And it's true. But every other day, something like this, it's crazy to me. Now watch what he says. And this is what we would call medical misinformation, right? Despite the fact that it only gets applied when it's something that we say.
So we have to get more people vaccinated. I said, well over, what's the number again? I remind myself, 350 million Americans have already been vaccinated. They're doing fine.
they're doing fine. Well, I feel better, right? They're doing fine, right, Joe? You know, what about, you know, some people die, but they're doing fine. You know, it's just so funny. But here's, let's, you know, just for fun. I'd probably do it right there. Look at that. Okay, so we have 328 million people. Make sure you guys are seeing that. Close that real quick. 328 million people in the United States, and Biden says 350 million people are vaccinated. Now, I don't even know where you would get, where's 350 coming from, right? They would claim over 500, 600,000 have died, which is completely false based on the obvious reality that some of that's not accurate, based even at their own admission, but they don't want to connect those two things. Or cases. I mean, I don't even know. Like, where did that come from? It's just such an interesting thing for them to spit out. And no one corrects nothing. You know, oh, my little pocket number that I'm going to not claim correctly. It's just crazy. That, but, you know, are we going to point that out and be like fake news? I mean, I'm sure somebody covered it and said, oh, what a gaffe. Biden, he made a mistake. He was talking about something else. Well, see, the difference is we tell you things that are fact-based. We can prove and we get censored for misinformation. He'll say things constantly wrong and it's just a chuckle and old Joe, you know, he's struggling. It's just crazy to me. But obviously still half the country is unvaccinated despite what they want to scream at you and force you into. This is the reality. Now, one more point on this censorship topic and I'll show you some more censorship. I just wanted to reiterate this point, by the way, that Gateway Pundit at the very least corrected their mistake and you know, sort of pointed the Last American Vagabond, but then still left the wrong video. And this is in regard to the thing that we caught on this show and was basically went viral because InfoWars stole it and then shared it as their own work, putting their own tag on the video. As you can clearly see, this is my video with my highlights. But here's what's interesting. Gateway Pundit corrected it. Caught! CDC deletes it. No, you didn't do anything. You stole my work. But the point is they just removed the video. Because this is because InfoWars is not on your side, guys. If they're only trying to do this to their own benefit and they're like, look, if they wanted to make this correct, all they had to do was post my video or the clip that Star made, which is the exact same information. But nope, they'd rather just remove the one that has 45 comments underneath it that says, you stole this from Ryan. You stole this from Ryan. And that's why they probably removed it, because they're just trying to keep the flow going without pointing to anyone other than themselves and people that are towing their line. Not the truth, but their party line. Removed. People who are after the truth don't do stuff like that, period. If InfoWars said something that changed the story, I would report that InfoWars covered it. I'd still point out that you shouldn't be trusting them, but I would still point to them. But you see, that's not what happens in reverse, because they are part of the two-party illusion. They're part of the problem. Just wanted to point that out. And by the way, somebody who spoke to Jason Burmes said, oh, yeah, we noticed that was an error. And they clearly did, because they removed it. And he said, we'll reach out and make sure it's corrected. Never happened. No email, nothing. Because they're not actually after the information of the truth, in my opinion, at least from the top down. But censorship discussion, I wanted to point this out. I found this to be quite interesting. One of the pirate channels, which we're currently streaming on now, I don't know, maybe it's already deleted, because that's what happened yesterday or day before, or actually 2 days before that. We'll show you the thing next. But this is just gone now. Content unavailable. You can't appeal it. So what does that even mean? So normally they're there. They just keep them there, but they don't show them. But this one says unavailable. I just found that to be strange. I don't know what that means, but who knows what they're doing behind it all. All these things. Norway says vaccine death risk higher. They did say that, but nope, misinformation, because Norway didn't say that. Nope, they did say that. We just don't like what they said. So misinformation. U.S. government to censor your private text messages. Well, they said they would do that. Nope, misinformation. By the way, all my appeals aren't actually appeals. I just appeal and say, tag, you're it. Hashtag TL Pirate Streams. Because they hate me right now. They are very aware of what we're doing, and they clearly are trying to stop it. But going over to this topic, because this is what they just said is fake news, here is the CDC director literally saying exactly what we just said she said, which is that they admit that the COVID injections don't stop transmission, and they deleted the video, which of course they do, because they're trying to hide the truth. Here's the reality. And even James Lyons Weiler, PhD, points it out. Vaccine does not prevent transmission. So where is the CDC's new recommendation on early prophylaxis, like, you know, ivermectin and whatever else people are recommending? It should be your choice. We know the science supports it, but they don't care. They ignore this stuff because it's all about the vaccine at all costs. Now, here's an article that he references. I'm not familiar with this location, but saying the same thing that we've been reporting this whole time. The whole time, long before she changed her story, because we read the information from the trials they were doing back in the middle of 2020, because we're actually aware of what's going on, reporting the facts to you, not just what we're hearing on the news, right? And that's what's important. It doesn't stop transmission because she stated it. It becomes that way because that's what the data has always shown us, always. Now that they've proven and now they have to say it, it doesn't just suddenly start becoming they don't stop transmission. It's been that way since the beginning. As I told you, Talzax from Moderna admitted himself. They did not pay us enough to find out. And now we're finding out that it doesn't work anyway. Oh, it's only the Delta though. Nope, not true. But the reality is, in either way you look at it, they're now admitting that it does not stop transmission. And we've been telling you that from the very damn beginning, because that's what their data showed you. But here's his point in this article anyway. Here's what they said. And this was March 30th, 2021.
Our data from the CDC today suggests, that vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick, and that it's not just in the clinical trials, but it's also in real world data.
Now, you know what's crazy about that is we found out after March 30th that not only did they know that wasn't true, but they had that data and they kept it from us. Well after they made their decision with the mask mandates and everything else. So bottom line, she's a liar. Either she doesn't know that she's lying and is just a repeater, and honestly that's what I think she is. It doesn't matter, my personal opinion. She does not seem to be somebody who's well versed on these things, in my opinion, based on the way that she seems to be reading. It doesn't really seem to be. Bottom line is, she was either lying to you or not aware of the information or part of the manipulation. Because she just said that March 30th, that doesn't carry the information, doesn't carry the viral load, that they can't spread it, right? That's ridiculous, because how could I have known that since middle of 2020? And I'm clearly being shown to be right. Well, jump forward months. I mean, think about how ridiculous that is. And now here's what she's saying as of today.
Our vaccines are working exceptionally well. They continue to work well for Delta with regard to severe illness and death.
By the way, that's not true. I'll show you the data right after this.
Prevent it. But what they can't do anymore is prevent transmission. So if you're going home to somebody who has not been vaccinated, to somebody who can't get vaccinated.
Right. So they can't anymore. Got it. Now, you know, an easy thing to do is, if these mainstream journalists actually cared about accuracy, would be to go look at that data and go, oh, weird. That data is back from before they lied to us before, right? So March 30th, you can find that they knew this stuff before March 30th, that the data has been there for a long time based on everything we've been reporting. So they lied. And you know what that show? It's not just a lie. It's about controlling the flow of information. On March 30th, they didn't want you to know yet. Now, for some reason, they do, whether that's because our work has been so, independent media's work has been so effective that now they have to admit it, or maybe they wanted you to know now. Either way, it's undeniably obvious that they knew then and they covered it up, and now they're admitting it to you. Now, what does that mean? It means that they allowed this to happen this whole time, putting your life at risk if you believe what they're telling you is happening. Crazy to me. Absolutely crazy. Here's the discussion we had on August 4th, 2 days before that article, saying CDC admits COVID injections don't stop transmission and that they can spread just as easily, which she also admitted. Interestingly, keeping that from your view. Now, this is interesting to me that this was the exact show on the 4th that they stopped mid-show, which doesn't happen very often. Star actually caught some screenshots of them censoring in the in, it's actually Claudia Schwab, in the chat. Deleted by Google moderator team, right? This is a small channel. I mean, seriously, probably has 100 subscribers. It's a pirate channel that we're jumping from channel to channel every week, every day, or, you know, give or take. And yet somehow they're in the chat moderating this. They're following this. They know what's going on. They're censoring our content, our comments, and then jumping to the next one. You can see it continues, the censoring by Google moderator. And then finally, they just, boop, cut the stream. This was what? Where were we here? This was maybe 10 minutes in the show. Cut instantly on somebody else's channel. And this is based on things that we can prove. Everything up until that point was verifiable. Just crazy to me, right? It just needs to show people. And again, this is the point. If you're right now watching on YouTube, right? And you don't have a reason to be on YouTube, why are you on YouTube? That's important to ask yourself, right? Is it convenience? Is it because you like it? Is it the way you got used to your settings? Don't be a part of the problem. We need to go elsewhere. Go to SuperU, Odyssey, BitChute, right? Rockfin. I'm streaming on most of those right now. SuperU, right now you can donate. We have recurring tips coming right, very just around the corner. All these new things we're going to be coming out with. It's going to be fantastic, and you won't have this kind of manipulation. Let me know in the chat. Maybe we're going on YouTube right now for all I know. Who knows? But anyway, the point of this is to show you that this is continuing and they do not want you to see the truth. Verifiable facts are being censored in real time, despite how everybody's pointing this out. PhDs, everybody. Why are you lying to us, guys? They don't care. Which brings us to an interesting point of vindication in regard to Joe Rogan, of all people, which, you know, I've always had the general opinion that I don't think Joe Rogan is, if he is some sort of, you know, insider shill or however you want to look at it, that's constantly misrepresented. I don't think he knows that. That's just my gut. I don't trust anybody outside. I mean, really anywhere, to be honest, these days, it's kind of hard to. But people always have this mentality that he's, you know, the bottom line is there's things like this that slip out. And just the way that they do it, it doesn't strike me as someone who's doing this in a manipulative way, but, you know, maybe that's why he's so good at being manipulative. Who knows? Bottom line is, it's frustrating that this stuff can drip out now and it won't be censored. I'm not asking for it to be censored. I don't want anything to be censored. But the point is, he's talking about it on YouTube, and this is exactly what we just talked about, and I'm going to show you this right now. And they have 700,000, 800,000 views. You want to explain that for me? Check this out. Okay, before we get into this, here is my video from the 4th. Again, this is from the 4th. Now, I forget if I downloaded that. I'll just play it right here, just so you can see it.
Here's the main point that I want to reiterate, because this is just a review of research. This is a peer-reviewed article, peer-reviewed research from 2015. Very clear, imperfect vaccination. You think that's where we are? In just, let's call it imperfect injections, can enhance the transmission of highly virulent pathogens. Now, here's the main point. Vaccines that keep hosts alive, but still allow transmission. Okay, bottom line is that's the main point, right? Vaccine, I've read this to you 14 times.
Since the moment the variant discussion came up, this was the first thing I uncovered that's the variant show I keep pointing out to you. From the first time I dove into the variant research and I went through the background, the science behind it, you know, for a week going through this stuff, these were the most prominent ones that I found and I showed you myself. Vaccines that keep hosts alive but still allow transmission could thus allow virulent strains to circulate in the population. The title being that this can enhance. Basically, the bottom line is it can create variants. That's what we've talked about. That's what we told you many times. Vaccines are pushing pathogens to evolve. That's what the science showed us. Okay. Now, what's funny is here's what Joe Rogan just said on August 6th on his podcast. Don't forget, we were just censored for saying this exact stuff on August 4th. Now, take listen to this. I'm going to have to grab the right timestamp, so bear with me one second.
The Joe Rogan
quote on have a bunch of people that are supporting it. Like, yay, finally. Meanwhile, you have some.
Just so you know, he's totally railing on the idea of vaccine passports and people supporting it, you know, making fun of it, you know, bottom line. But as I understand it, he's already being attacked from his own group, from Spotify, like coming after for the. But it's just strange that the video would still be there. I think maybe it's because he's too high profile. They know it make too much attention, like Streisand effect. Again, be clear. I do not want anything to be censored like this. He has a right to say these things. But what's interesting to note is the censorship around everyone else, which does indicate or at least point to the possibility that this is something that's being allowed.
science is coming out. There's legitimate articles. Jamie, I'll send this to you now.
Science is coming out, right?
There's legitimate articles because doctors have been sending me these things. And, you know, this is neither pro nor con vaccine. This is not a judgment statement. But imperfect vaccination can enhance the transmission of highly virulent pathogens.
Right.
So this is a scientific paper from 2015 that shows that
Look at that.
Here's one important quote. Vaccines that keep the host alive but still allow transmission can thus allow virulent strains to circulate in a population. So vaccines that don't kill the virus, vaccines that allow people – like this is one of the things we're finding out about what they're calling breakthrough cases.
Right. You know, this is great that it's being put out there to a million people, right? It's just the problem is that I'm not going to go through this whole show. This is not even this whole 14-minute video. The problem is if you watch this video and you watch my show, you're going to walk away going, well, that was just a dumbed down version of what we watch at Riot Show all the time. I'm not even trying to say that what they're talking about is dumb. It's just going to be a very surface level, simplified, which is what they tend to do. Joe Rogan just, you know, they just discuss things and kind of rattle back and forth. But we've been trying to get this in people's heads for months. It's just, it's crazy that this is, it makes me question how and what they're trying to let slip out.
So people who are vaccinated can still get COVID and they can still transmit COVID. Mm-hmm. This recently happened at the Comedy Store.
But remember, see, and this is the important part. Not only can they still transmit it, they potentially have the same viral load, which means if they can, that means there's no difference between the vaccinated and not in regard to transmission if they can all transmit it, which they just told you. So at the bottom line, whether you want to pretend it's only the Delta in this moment or not, it's the exact same situation, same viral load, same transmission. There's no point except you're adding more risk with the injection. That seems pretty damn clear to me.
A vaccinated comedian gave COVID to like 12 different fucking people at the Comedy Store.
Earmuffs.
Some of them vaccinated, some of them not. That situation where the vaccine just kind of protects you from serious damage,
right?
But it protects you from really being like badly hospitalized or.
And now I'm just going to leave it there. Here's the point, though, guys. That's not even necessarily accurate. And that's what we're going to get into today. We keep getting this argument that, even fairly enough, this is the point that I was making in regard to the variant discussion. But that does not mean, look, you can have that same problem with people who, let's just say people who are vaccinated are getting severely ill, most of them. The people who don't get severely ill still meet the requirement for that discussion where they're not dying, yet they can still go around and it can still spread this and it does increase the issue, right? That's the point. I actually believe based on the data, what we'll get into next from Israel and a lot of other places, it's showing you that it's predominantly in the vaccinated who are getting the most sick. So they're trying to play this balance game where it's like, well, decreasing the hospitalization and risk of death, but you can still spread it. And that's the problem. Well, what if it was also causing severe illness and also causing death and also causing all these things predominantly in the vaccinated, but then it was also creating the variants because of the very fact that it's there circulating in millions of people. Interesting, right? Looks like we're still live. Just double checking real quick. Now going back into this, moving to the next part of it. And this, again, as always, I always include the link to the shows you can find for yourself. Mainstream media hides pandemic of the injected. Injections causing variants and how they're not effective. All these things backed up by verified information, peer-reviewed data. Here's that link for you if you want to watch it for yourself. All this stuff has been discussed in depth by this channel, by myself, many times. All there for you. Now here is the next point on the variants. Now, this is a very important point for me. Very important. This shows you exactly what we keep telling you, is that whether we're talking the White House, the president himself, or the average person on Twitter, people are being trained and have been for a long time to simply think that listening to authority, listening to so-called experts, whether they're experts or not, understand. I'm not even trying. People can literally be the best expert on the planet. And they're acting like listening to what they tell you is doing your research. Repeating what you heard from the CDC is knowing the data. No, it's not. Understanding and knowing the data is looking at what they're reporting and looking at it and verifying it. And understand, the average person may not even know how to do that, but you know who can? People like James Lyons Wilder, people like Denny Rancourt, people who are experts, scientists, doctors, medic out there who can look at that data and go, you know what? That's not accurate. Here's what they're missing. That's what we're missing in the conversation today. Any kind of actual dialogue and accountability. The point is, what she's about to tell you here is admitting that blind trust for what they're being told from the CDC. And the reason that's important, guys, is because of what we keep showing you from what they were telling us before we got to COVID-19 clown world. Even the WHO, from this censored document you can't find on their website anymore, that clearly tells you in 2011 that in both pandemics of fear, H5N1 and H1N1, the exaggerated claims of severe public health threats stem primarily from disease advocacy by influenza experts. Vertical influenza planning in the face of speculative catastrophes is a recipe for repeated waste of resources and health scares. What? Induced by influenza experts with vested interest in exaggeration? That's the WHO saying that, guys. Disease experts who wish to capture public attention and sway resource allocation decisions in favor of the disease of their interest. You mean like Fauci? Yes, but many others as well, like Walensky at the CDC. This is what they're talking about, guys. That's why even the HHS is saying, or the report to the HHS is saying, U.S. data on influenza deaths are false and misleading. The CDC acknowledges this. Now, we'll circle back to this. I want to play this video. The bottom line is, she's about to tell you exactly what they were told they shouldn't be doing. And that's not by accident. Yeah, that's the important thing to understand here, is that this is not by accident. The trust that they're placing in this is by design, because it allows the manipulation.
Good afternoon.
Where are we here? 4157.
The organizations on the ground. So that is.
Oh, and I want to play this first part because it's really strange. The first part just highlights the incompetency, the way that these people are just clumsy and out. It just seems like they don't have their S together. You know what I mean? Like, it just seems like they're constantly fumbling through things, making mistakes. I mean, it's just kind of embarrassing. But then we'll get into the question that's being asked. And this is regarding variants. And note how she responds, almost frustrated, flabbergasted. Like, how dare they ask this question, even though it's probably the most valid question of the day.
Is also critical and important. And so we're going to keep an eye on that. We're going to stay focused on that as well. And we should have more to share on the Guatemala situation. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, I totally forgot.
So these are apparently like Zoom calls. You know, and by the way, listen to the name of the group. So this is apparently a journalist, we're being told. Right? I mean, you'll never, ever see the White House invite the Last American Vagabond or anybody even far, far, far more prominent. But of course, this is somebody who's invited in from the outside for an obvious reason.
Oh my goodness. Give me one second.
On it.
Our fun Friday. Okay, for our last question for our fun Friday Zoom, reporter hailing from Black Information Network.
Now, I always want to point this out, that just if something was called a white information network, well, that wouldn't be okay. That's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous how this is always a double standard in everything that's happening. I always want to point that out. And it's not a racist comment to point out the obvious. It's like saying white people are always racist and black people can't be racist. That's stupid. We all need to be grown-ups today and realize that there's a lot of political manipulation in all this stuff. All right, only point on that. Now watch how she fumbles it again.
Vanessa Tyler, how are you?
Hi, Corinne. Thank you so much for taking my question.
I cannot hear you.
Can you hear me?
Can't hear you, Vanessa.
Can you hear me? Hello?
I know.
Oh, that's obnoxious. You know, just like watching these people, they're supposed to be the most powerful government in the world, and they can't even fumble through a Zoom call. I mean, gosh, that makes it pretty embarrassing, doesn't it? Right? I mean, come on, guys. You know how long they've been doing Zooms and stuff throughout this process of the clown world of COVID-19, and yet they can't manage in the most high-tech group in the world to connect their audio. I mean, come on, guys. That's just embarrassing. Now, I know people can make mistakes, and it always happens. I'm just for the way that they present themselves, think about this in the context of everything else. Sure, they have access to everything. And sure, there can be pretty nefarious and wildly ahead of us technologically and everything else. But there's also a lot of really dumb and clumsy and incompetent people within all of that with that much power. That should scare you just as much.
There are pets questions in the room for sure.
Can you hear me now?
And they just leave her up there. It's just so, it's ridiculous to me. Okay, enough on that. I mean, just watch. They just leave her up there while they're asking questions. Can you hear me? It's just ridiculous.
Hello? I know. There are pets questions in the room, for sure.
Can you hear me now? How do you test that is the Delta variant, the COVID is the Delta variant?
So this question is really low. So she's basically saying, and this, guys, this could not be a more valid question. Very basic. How do you know this is a Delta variant, right? Which is what we keep telling you. And by the way, from previous shows, we've already shown you that the CDC admitted that that's not what's happening in most cases, that they're using the culture tests in a lab are basically the only way to prove this. I believe that was the test they talked about, but it's lab. And the idea is that they're saying that this is only done in a certain specific locations by the CDC. And most places aren't doing that. So how in the world do they know? Well, that's a valid question. I'm already telling you it's because they're telling them it's 90% of Delta. So when they test somebody, they're going to say, well, it's Delta because isn't it 90%, right? This is the kind of science we've seen throughout this whole process. Now watch the way she responds. How do we know this is the Delta variant?
Hello.
Look at her face. She heard what the question was. I don't understand the question.
Questions in the room for sure.
Can you hear me now? How do you test that is the Delta variant?
Hello.
I don't understand the question.
That is the Delta strain in an area when people just test whether they're COVID positive.
Well, we don't test it. We listen to public health and scientists, and they tell us that it's a Delta variant.
Ah, okay. So right out of the gate. Right. Well, we don't test them. This is always that kind of that sidestep. What's not, we're not doing it. We're not wrong. They are. They're the one. Same with Paskey, right? We're not censoring people. We're just normal Americans like you. Nope. You're clearly telling them what you admitted the next week after that, by the way. But here we are at a point where we're not testing them. What did she say? Oh, we're just listening to what they tell us. That's fantastic. The White House. Cool. I'm sure glad their experts surrounding Biden are doing their due diligence about what a very compromised location that even the WHO, the HHS, the BMJ have all throughout the years called out for their fraudulent activity, that for misrepresenting numbers around the flu. Yeah, we've talked about all this. Now, you can pretend like it all changed and say they're the best group in the world, but the bottom line is they are trusting what they're being handed by people who have a vested interest in, I don't know, vaccine sales. That's a valid point that people make. Plenty of people have pointed this out. That's, if you don't believe that the CDC makes a profit from vaccine sales, they have a vested interest in those sales, then you don't understand the information. It's all there for you to look at. I've shown you this many times, as many have pointed out. This would be as ridiculous as the EPA having a vested interest in fossil fuels. It doesn't make sense. You're supposed to regulate that group, not make money from it. And this is what you call a captured agency. This is why we've talked about the spider group that reached out back in, I think it was 2007. I forget the date exactly. I just showed you on a previous show. Just look up the spider group, the CDC. They tried to reach out. They sent letters to the world and they said the CDC is compromised. They're misrepresenting data. Everybody knows about it. They're hiding it. And guess what happened? Absolutely nothing. Nothing. But here she is going, yeah, we trust what they tell us, you stupid idiot. Look at her face. Like, how dare you even question that we would blindly trust what we're being told? Like the WHO just said is the last thing we should be doing. Or in 2011, they said that.
Questions in the room, for sure.
Hello?
I don't understand the question.
Well, how do you test when that is the Delta strain in an area when people just test whether they're COVID positive?
Well, we don't test it. We listen to public health and scientists, and they tell us that it's the Delta variant.
I don't even understand. Why would they explain
their process of how they're determining it's the Delta variant?
Right. So she says, and by that lady's just hello the whole time. How embarrassing is that? But so she just basically said, what's the process? Right. I can't even believe that you could, like, this is almost worse that she responded the way she did. Right. That's the most valid question around this. If nobody has explained this, what is the process you're using? They're using the experts that you just said you're blindly trusting to find out what the Delta variant is or not. Valid.
I mean, that's what they are telling us. I laid out how contagious it was, and I laid out
why we needed to act on the Delta variant. I laid out
a lot of
why
the answers we get is because they say so.
Exactly, because they told us it was. And this lady doesn't even know what to say. Well, but I told you it was dangerous. Didn't you hear me say it was dangerous? It's like, did you hear it? I mean, she doesn't even, I mean, God, this is so hard. Like, this is why I don't watch these anymore. It hurts my brain to watch how stupid this is. And they're really, really crazy. Like, did I tell you how dangerous it was? What does that have anything to do with how they're figuring out whether it's Delta or not? She knows that. She just is in a spiral right now going, oh my God, what do I do? Like that guy back in the day who was asked about Saudi Arabia versus Iran and stared at the camera for like 45 seconds and said basically nothing and walked away. It was embarrassing because this is what happens when you ask real questions in supposed journalism land over here at the White House. Oh, dang it. I just hit the wrong button. Hold on. Dang it. What was it? It was 30. Apologies. 41. Sorry. 1 second. 41. There we go.
How are you?
Hi, Corrine. Thank you.
Questions in the room, for sure.
Hello?
I don't understand the question.
Hello?
I don't even understand. Why would they explain?
Explain their process of how when people just test whether the Delta variant, the COVID is the Delta variant.
Hello?
I don't understand the question.
Well, how do you test when that is the Delta strain in an area when people just test whether they're COVID positive?
Well, we don't test it. We listen to public health and scientists, and they tell us that it's the Delta variant.
Hello?
I don't even understand. Why would they explain?
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Not a good time to point. I just can't. The sign language lady is laughing and saying hello every time this lady says hello. I just find that to be a nice little sidestep for some comic relief there. That just cracks me up. Okay, I won't point that out again. I just had to point that out.
Area when people just test whether they're COVID positive.
Well, we don't test it. We listen to public health and scientists, and they tell us that it's the Delta variant.
Oh.
I don't even understand. Why would they explain?
Explain their process of how they're determining it's the Delta variant.
I mean, that's what they are telling us. I laid out why I laid out how contagious it was, and I laid out why we needed to act on the Delta variant. I laid out
a lot of the answers we get is because they say so without a lot of.
Well, they're the experts. It's not just day. These are scientists. These are experts.
See, and this is the point. They want to instill in you that why aren't you trusting them? They're experts, you stupid, right? Of course you should. And that's the problem. This is what people who believe in the narrative have already decided, that because she's stating what the experts state, that's fact. Right now we're two people removed, right? She's trusting the experts and they're trusting her. That's dumb, guys. That is ignorance. We need to these are the people that have been lying to you about everything forever. I mean, you pick. And that she's just blown away by that. I can't believe you wouldn't trust them blindly without listening. It's crazy to me.
Hold on 1 second. I just said that Dr. Lewinsky.
Because they say so without a lot of.
Well, they're the experts. It's not just day. These are scientists. These are experts. I just said that. Hold on 1 second. I just said that Dr. Lewinsky said just recently in her 20-year career.
I just said that she said.
She had never seen a variant that was so contagious.
Not deadly, mind you, because it's actually not. And that's why they have yet to say that. Well, maybe more deadly. Contagious doesn't mean anything if it's not killing people, right? The only people it is seem to be killing are people who are vaccinated or injected, and that seems to be causing an increase in their problem. That's the point.
So this is 20 years of her career. So this is absolutely, absolutely a major, major problem that we are trying to deal with.
So it's a problem, and that explains why we know it's Delta versus something else. That's not even a good sidestep. And because she's been doing this for 20 years, that means that she must be right. She didn't even make that point. I mean, this is just bad, clumsy, clumsy politics. And I mean, everybody there in that audience knows it. I mean, everybody, even though they're not going to ask the follow-up questions.
That's why we heard from the president yesterday. That's why we keep talking about people need to get vaccinated.
So you heard from the press. That's why you heard from him talking about things, because that's how we know the Delta is the different. Stupid.
So that is the way that we're trying to move in this administration, making sure that we are protecting people here, making sure that we're dealing with this pandemic in a.
See, it just becomes these broad strokes of nonsense. Just we're keeping you safe, and the administration's working for you and your family. It's like, what does any of that even mean? It doesn't amount to anything, and that's what they know. That's their back. So, okay, well, I'm losing it. I'm going to fall back into the routine talking points that I can say for 30 seconds until they lose the point and point to somebody else quickly before they know what to say next.
A way that is effective, and that's how we're going to move forward. I'll take another question.
Go ahead. You next. Get out of there. Next thing.
Go ahead, Eugene.
In April, the chief of staff told Claybrook that.
Okay, you see, so now they're off it. Even though they were trying to get that follow up, she's forcing it into somebody who doesn't have that same question. This is broken. They're telling you we trust experts. Who we tell you are experts, by the way, experts like Anthony Fauci, by the way, despite the fact that the WHO told you before that that's exactly the problem, induced by influenza experts with a vested interest in exaggeration. How is it possible that we can be in the same situation with the WHO, who we're not supposed to challenge, remember, telling you back then looking forward that this is going to be a problem, or the HHS telling you the same thing, that this is information that they're manipulating? They acknowledge a difference in the flu and death, associated death, but yet they use the terms interchangeably. Additionally, there are significant statistical incompatibilities between official estimates and national vital statistics data. Oh, you mean between their estimates and the reality? Yep. Compounding these problems is a marketing of fear, a CDC communication strategy in which medical experts predict dire outcomes during flu seasons in order to drive vaccination. You can read these if you want. I've gone through them many, many times. But think about how ridiculous that is. That's where we are, and they have not changed. And guess what? We're already making injections based on something that hasn't been approved, an experimental mRNA gene therapy product for specifically Delta, even though they don't even know exactly that. This is ridiculous. We are 14 steps ahead of what they're even pretending they've established today. You know why? Because this was the agenda, whether or not they verified it to you, because they've been aiming for this from 20 years ago and even before. I've proven that on the show. Documents in 2002 where your government said we plan to alter human evolution with nanotechnology in 20 years, which puts us exactly right now. We're weird. Look at, there's nanoparticles and technology everywhere. mRNA, nanoparticles, lipid nanoparticles, all these different mRNA platforms and all that is what we're doing now. And guess what? They're going to alter your evolution. Technocratic. It's going forward. Is that a coincidence? Could be. Could be. But the point being is that they made their platform and all the directions and all these 14, 15 new mRNA vaccines, their injections they're already working on right now, which I showed you on their documentation, despite this one yet to even been proven to be safe, yet to be approved in any meaningful way. And we're already making 14 new versions of it. You want to explain that to me? What happens if this turns out to be completely wrong and it doesn't work? Doesn't matter. We're already past that, right? They're forcing in safe and effective despite it being obviously not safe and obviously not effective. Wonder why? Because it was already decided. Pfizer has manufactured the first batch, already made the first batch of Delta variant vaccines. Think about, you know how stupid that is, even based on their own narrative? So what about the Epsilon variant? What about the, what was the last one I just saw? I forgot. The Colombian variant. They're all screaming about all of a sudden in California, whatever, wherever it is, right? So if there's already new variants circulating, why would they make an injection for a variant that won't be valid in the time that they have this rolled out and used? That's within their narrative, understand. Think about how crazy, it doesn't matter, guys. It's about the next one. It's about getting these things in your arms and continuing the process. It says pharma giant Pfizer's already developed and manufactured ingredients for COVID-19 vaccines targeting specifically the Delta variant. You know what? Just like, you know, the flu, except now we're doing it month to month. Weird, isn't it? And just like the flu, just like the data we've shown you before, which this article talks about, it's very clear that the flu injections were what were causing the pathogens to evolve. Exactly what we're seeing today, and they don't want you to think about. New strains are common and usually fizzle out on their own. Well, I don't know how common they are necessarily, because in the beginning, they kept telling us that these mutations were extremely rare. So it's funny how that works both ways when they wanted to. But then they usually fizzle out on their own. Okay, so why then have we been jumping from variant to variant with bleeding fear-mongering coming from every channel constantly if they're fizzling out on their own every time? Why? Well, because they're fear-mongering about the unknown, which is what they're using to keep you in fear, based on things that aren't actually more dangerous, like the Delta variant for people who are unvaccinated at the very least. But the coronavirus's Delta variant, however, has taken off across the world since discovery. It's now behind more than 90%. Well, is it, though? Or are we just saying that? because it seems pretty clear to me that they don't have any way to actually verify that. Data suggests that the Delta variant is possibly twice as transmissible. Isn't that great? Possibly. We're still saying possibly after all this time, which probably means it's not, as the original strain. And there's some early evidence that it might lead to more severe cases. Oh, crap. I just hit the... Oh, good. It didn't work. I thought I hit that link and it was going to make it refresh. Now it says the Delta variant is now behind more than 90%. Again, they just keep saying that. Doesn't seem that I mean, at the very least, it seems unverified. Funny how that works. They love the unverified things when it works for them, but when it's been unverified and things like, I don't know, Bayer's, they go, no, fake news. We can't look at that. The current mRNA vaccine still appears highly effective against serious illness. Nope. That's actually flagrantly incorrect. And we're going to show you that in this document from Swiss Policy Research in 1 second. It's crazy how they just get to state these things. That's dangerous medical misinformation. In fact, Israel's seeing it's almost down to zero. In some cases, if you had it over 180 days, at the very least, it's down to 16% in regard to doing pretty much anything. But yeah, it's totally highly effective, safe and effective, and works and safe and works. And it's, just keep stating these things with nothing to back it up, and it'll work for you. That's led some research to begin suggesting that vaccine manufacturers develop shots targeting the Delta variant specifically. Now, here's the main point. Since they might be more effective at preventing infection and stemming the virus's spread, it says one of the huge advantages of the... I think I just did it right there. Okay, good. Of the mRNA vaccines is that they can be easily updated to match new strains. Remember, that was supposed to be fake news, right? We reported this to you just by plugging in the genetic code. Well, what do you know? That totally fake news story that we were being censored for is being stated as absolute fact, because it is, by the way. It's not that hard to understand, because Moderna themselves, this is Moderna versus Pfizer, understand, but it's the same technology concept, the platform, are very clear in telling you that this is a platform, right? It's like a plug and play platform. Recognizing the broad potential of mRNA science, we set out to create a technology platform that functions much like an operating system on a computer. It's not even really an analogy. That's exact. They're copying on a computer screen code, genetic code, and they're plugging it into their formula. They're pumping out something that tells them how to make a new injection. And then they claim they don't have to safety test that. Does that make sense to you? That's what's happening. They're not going to safety test these new Delta injections for a year like they do with normal injections. They're going to go, well, we already did it. No, they didn't. They didn't even safety test the ones that got us here. 6 months at the most, and that's not even full safety. That's a lot of testing. And we've already proven that. Even the mainstream media was forced to admit that. Well, the other one that's important to point out in regard to Moderna as well, and I don't know, it's only Moderna seems to have, you know, posted this for everybody to look at. It used to be all on the homepage. Now you have to scroll down and hit this button 5 or 6 times, which there's a reason for that, because they don't want this, in my opinion, to be very clear and open. Right here, January 11th, 2020, is when Chinese authorities shared genetic sequence of the novel coronavirus. By January 13th, well, guess what? They were already working on a vaccine or an injection. 2 days later, are we going to pretend like they isolated? You remember, even the CDC from China have admitted that they didn't isolate this before that happened. Right? We've shown you that many times. I'm just going to grab the clip real quick if I have it here. Right here.
And why has the data not been shared?
No, they didn't isolate the virus. That's the issue.
No, they didn't isolate the virus. That's the issue.
Seems pretty clear to me, right? So they didn't isolate it. 2 days later, they send it. And 2 days, well, 2 days later, after being sent, they're already working on an injection. How does that make sense to anybody? Because they don't need any of that. They're basing it off of genetic code, and that's it. And going forward, they're going to pretend like this has already been established, and that's exactly what they're telling you right now in this document. They're telling you, well, just by plugging in the genetic code of the variant, we can pump out something new. And Pfizer's already on the case, right? So how long has Delta been around? And yet they're telling you they've already made vaccines, injections. They've already done so. They've already pumped this stuff out. So there's no possible way that this could have been proven to be exactly what they say it is. And there's no possible way that this has actually been safety tested. It's not going to be. And remember, we told you this before when we were censored and it was called fake news. And now they're admitting it to you, just like everything else. I mean, it's almost just clownishly ridiculous how obviously correct we've been on a million of these claims, because we've been following the scientific research like they pretend they are. And yet they keep tripping into it and going, well, this is now partially correct. And we're still fake news and we're still censored. The company has announced that it has already developed a COVID-19 vaccine targeting. Exactly. It's already made. Explain that. Vaccines for new variants could be authorized more rapidly. Authorized. Exactly. because it's an emergency and they're going to keep you in an emergency so they can just keep pumping out these things without actually having to prove they're safe. It also said that it had manufactured the first batch of mRNA for a clinical trial, which it expects to begin in August. It's too soon to say when Pfizer's shot might be reached the public, but the FDA said back in February that updated vaccines for new variants could be authorized more rapidly, similar to the flu shot. Exactly. Now, the point is, if they do these things in August, are we really going to pretend like by August of that next year that they're going to be ready for you? No, that's exactly 23 months is the median average time for something like that. That's not going to happen. Just like it didn't happen with these first ones, yet they keep pretending this was the most thorough safety trials of all time. And they're all saying that. I mean, how dumb do you have to be to buy something like that when it's not even close to the time period that they normally have? The variant vaccines makes it into people's arms and the Delta is still the dominant strain. That's the point. Even this article admits it, of course, at the very last sentence. If it makes it into people's arms while this is the dominant strain, which is almost a guarantee, if they're not even going to be testing until August, it could have a huge impact on the spread of the coronavirus. You think that? So all that's going to happen is they're going to get this moving so they can then pretend like we have something that's maybe moderately tested. And then they're going to pump in genetic code for the new variant of the day and pretend like that works. Mark my words, just like everything else, watch when that happens. And I'm probably going to be censored for this video like all the rest. And it will still be true. But bringing this over into the next part of this in regard to how actually severe this is and how this is the point, this is the reality that the injected are the ones causing this problem based on all the real world data. And it seems quite obvious that despite their argument, it is the vaccinated with the most severe problems as well. This is the Israeli data. I've shown you this already, by the way. This is just being reported by the health ministry, the Channel 13 News, by a lot of different people now. But your government won't touch this. Your mainstream media won't touch this. Of course, because that's how you keep people informed, by ignoring valid information, right? Ran Israel points out, and this is in Israeli. Listen to it for yourself. The subtitles are on the bottom. 95% of the severe patients are vaccinated. 95%. 85 to 90% of the hospitalizations are in fully vaccinated people. So it's two very important differences, right? Two very important differences. 95% of the severe issues. So people with severe adverse events, they would call that afterward or breakthrough case, whatever you want to call it. I think it's the same thing, calling it a COVID breakthrough or a side effect. It's, you know, it's, whether it's the injection causing this or it's a breakthrough case, which it didn't protect them from, or both simultaneously, it's the injection. That's the problem. And that's what's then causing the situation, which Joe Rogan pointed out, which I pointed out 1,000 times, which keeps the people alive, but keeps transmission going, which is exactly what creates the variants based on what the actual scientific research has said before this, which they're ignoring. But on top of the severe patient part of it, up to 90% of the people in hospitals are fully vaccinated, right? So that's not just about severe side effects. That's people who are just having issues, whether COVID-19 or anything else, fully vaccinated. That challenges everything we're being told. Now, if you want to pretend the hospitals are overrun, which by the way, is not even actually valid in half the places we're being told about that. We've already shown that to you. That shows you that in this case, the very least, is because of the vaccinated. This is reported from Israel. Now, by the way, realize that Israel's government is still pretending this is all because of the unvaccinated. They're all saying, well, this is only happening because those, that small group, that 10% over there, you understand, almost 90% of the population is injected. And they're saying that 10% over there is why this keeps happening. No, that's not true, because that challenges even your herd immunity argument. What's happening is the injections aren't stopping transmission, and that's causing them to spread to each other, and they're causing variants. If the herd immunity was valid with the injections like they're claiming, and even Fauci saying 90%, well, they hit it already. Malta hit it already. Gibraltar hit it already. They don't care. It's still happening. I don't know how this continues to progress when their information is so easily shown to be false. It says, quote, we are opening more and more COVID wards. The effectiveness of vaccine is waning and fading out. COVID wards for people getting an injection and getting sick. Crazy. Now, he follows up to show you these tweets in general where they're reporting this information from a reporting Twitter feed in Israel, showing you the patients and how 72 patients currently hospitalized and so on. You can read this for yourself. It's all included. Now, here is Disclose TV pointing out that Ministry of Health, which just reported today, Israel, where 90% plus of the adult population is fully vaccinated, are reporting 3,849 new COVID cases. Now, severe cases spiked to 324, of which 209 are fully vaccinated. 209 This is what they're talking about, guys. 85 to 90% of the people with the problem right now are the injected. And even the Ministry of Health are pointing that out, regardless of whether they blame it on the unvaccinated, which doesn't actually make any sense. Now, here's where we get into the meat and potatoes of the discussion of these injections. Now, Swiss Policy Research has been really knocking it out of the park. Now, remember, before all the COVID-19 madness, they were highly, I mean, they should be highly respected, especially because of the way they've stuck to their guns during all of this madness. But what's funny is because they actually kept reporting the truth and kept giving you the scientific research that challenges the narrative, as well as stuff that goes along with what they say, they have been cast aside, relegated to COVID conspiracy theory. It's just so pathetic how quick they are to just disregard somebody who one moment ago was somebody they would trust if they were saying what they were supposed to. Well, COVID vaccines, the good, the bad, the ugly. Now, here is the graph that Tim Truth was showing that we just showing you that they, based on the time frame, based on how far, you know, it was, I think it was, if you got it 180 days before, it's just like absolutely almost zero, down to 16% but the research is all there for you to check out. I forget the exact data from this study, which we included in the previous show, but they go over the gist of it in this research. Tim Truth also had a great video on it you should check out because he goes over that as well. But they're going to tell you exactly this. And as always, with all of the source material, the opposite of what the mainstream media does when telling you lies. And you notice here, they publish this July 23rd and they always update it. And they give you the updated date. They add more information. It's a living document. Now it says, the latest data from Israel, which has used primarily Pfizer, indicates that vaccine effectiveness against Delta specifically has dropped from 95 to about 40%. Now, by the way, since this, as of the 6th, I believe, I saw some research coming out of Israel that put that even lower. And maybe that's the average, because what's even they're pointing to shows you that it can go down to 16. Well, let me read forward. I believe here the next part points this out. It says, importantly, in people who got vaccinated already. Now, this is the interesting part. People who got vaccinated already in January, primarily the elderly, protection against infection and mild disease. The main point. Now, that doesn't mean transmission. That's the main things they pretend this does. It doesn't stop transmission. The main things they say is reducing moderate to mild illness. That's what their documentation says, regardless of what the media says. May have already dropped to just 16%. And that's the same thing they've reported and multiple studies have already found. This thing wanes after 6 months to almost ineffective entirely, if it's even doing something positive for you in the first place. That's my opinion. But how do we not realize what this shows? It could be meant to do this, so the boosters will become a process just like with everything else. But how, if natural immunity, which we'll get to in a second, lasts your entire lifetime possibly, and the WHO is telling you 99% potentially have it, and they're telling you that it's durable and robust based on peer-reviewed science, and yet we're staring at this with all these complications and at 40% and it leaves your body and doesn't work after 6 months, why are we even trying to force this in? It needs to begin to seem very nefarious. Because I don't see how it can't be with everything we're staring at. Moreover, since the Delta COVID outbreak is still accelerating in Israel, the effectiveness against hospitalization and severe disease may further decrease. Now it says in the UK, which has primarily used AstraZeneca, the latest estimate of researchers at University College London indicates effectiveness against the infection of only 8%. 8%. And yet we're still we're mandating this for people. That sounds like the flu shot. 16%, 3% year to year. Who cares? We'll just keep making children get it by lying, like they point out here and here. Pandemics of fear to drive vaccines. But that's fake news today, though, right? Oop, jumping ahead too far. Hold on. Where was I? Here we go. The Israeli data, right here. The Israeli data shown above indicates that effectiveness against infection and mild symptoms decreases rapidly over time. And reaches near zero levels after about half a year. Near zero. Most likely, this is because COVID vaccines, I've read this to you already, by the way, do not achieve mucosal immunity. And serum antibody levels decrease within months. Where's the mainstream media? They're telling you this sort of, but basically by saying that this is the best you're going to get, with just overtly ignoring the natural immunity by pretending that if we don't oversure. Yes, we do, because all the people we're supposed to trust have already told you that. It says, thus, the false promise of very high protection against symptomatic infection found during official vaccine trials was simply based on very high short-term serum antibody levels mimicking mucosal immunity. That's not an accident, guys. From an immunological perspective, this was just a very lucrative flash in the pan and not a lasting protective effect. They knew this. That's why they did short-term rushed studies and keep screaming that it was the longest study in the history of studies of all time ever. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And it's insulting. Now it says, thus, vaccine protection, even against severe disease, will likely further decrease due to new variants, or in the very worst case, will turn into antibody-dependent and disease enhancement. Exactly. If high levels of non-neutralizing antibodies aggravate the infection, which is exactly what seems to be happening. Indeed, this is what happened in the case of vaccines against SARS-1 and the dengue fever. Exactly. The ones they tried in this exact same way with mRNA, and it did everything with the exact same way. And they realized that the lipid nanoparticles were too high and it was causing severe adverse events. Now, do you remember how they fixed the problem for this to work? Oh, that's right. They increased the level of lipid nanoparticles to make sure that it worked in your body in regard to the spike protein. Did they ever discuss how that was addressed in the dengue fever part, where the high level of nanoparticles were the problem for adverse events? No, they didn't. And that's why they skipped animal trials too, because that in the beginning, at the very least, because that's when you would have seen that. So the high level of lipid nanoparticles was a problem in dengue fever and before this, which was causing severe side effects, and they had to stop it immediately. And yet to solve the spike protein problem, they dramatically increased the lipid nanoparticles. You work that one out for yourself. However, it says there is a very real risk that additional vaccinations which inject or induce the coronavirus spike protein could substantially increase the risk of severe cardiovascular or neurological adverse events, such as strokes, Guillain-Barré syndrome, heart muscle inflammation like myocarditis, because they're already pushing the booster shots. And we already know that based on the data in front of us, this is likely to cause severe problems. Globally, COVID vaccines may already have killed tens of thousands of people. It's nice to have scientific research that actually cites the data, even if they say may have, right? You won't see this on any mainstream channel. May have already killed, because that's the appropriate way to report that, because we don't know for sure, and we can't say that because some of them could be unverified. The same way I would say about the 500,000 plus deaths, because some of those are absolutely false, but I just say that we don't know the actual data. But we're willing to entertain any of it if we have full information, right? Give us all the data from PCR tests and everything else and look at cycle thresholds, and we can make an estimation about what seems to be accurate. Same part of VAERS. We have all the VAERS data. They just don't care to look at it. It's just simply dishonest. It says alternatives include safer nasal vaccine candidates or medically supervised low-dose oral vaccines, which, by the way, in the case of polio, the oral vaccine was the one that ended up spreading in a very strange way, like a self-spreading vaccine, which, by the way, in some of these scientific research, they've already pointed to Pfizer as a self-spreading, which could have been an accident. Who knows? But I don't think so, based on the data we saw. The bottom line is a lot of this has already been done, and I believe experimented. Now, if you don't believe that in regard to, you know, the concept of self-spreading vaccines, that's been an openly discussed research topic by all the people we're talking about. It's a simple thing to look up. They talk about it from animal to animal, but in this documentation, they actually talk about, I mean, I might as well just grab it real quick, since I wasn't going to get into this today, but since I mentioned it, always try to, you know, include these. I'll probably talk about this in a future show. But this is, the future of vaccines could be as contagious as viruses. This is back from 2017. And the point is, just to skip to that main point, it says right here, the United States vaccine for polio is given as an injection that carries deadly poliovirus, but there's another form of the vaccine that's taken by mouth and uses a weakened but live version. It turns out this version can be briefly spread to others before dying out. Now, that could just be because they were sick and whatever else, or it could be that it was designed that way. Right? This is what they're actually talking about. The WHO has relied on oral polio vaccine for its efforts to wipe out. Well, weird that it seems to wipe it out, but it seems to be spreading it. But there is a drawback. Rarely the live vaccine can actually mutate enough to revert back to its virulent form. The oral polio vaccine carries three strains and on and on. The interesting part about this is that this is something that could have been a mistake. They are working on this in exactly this concept of making self-spreading vaccines. It's not a secret, even though people pretend it's fake news. But the idea is that they've already talked about these in the past. And I would not trust this stuff going forward with something like an mRNA injection. But going forward, it says, furthermore, the millions of people who were told that vaccination will protect them against a coronavirus infection soon will have to realize once again that this was not the case. Instead, most of them will get infected anyway. What do you know about that? Indeed, data from Israel, as well as its recent studies, all indicate that a previous coronavirus infection continues to offer the best protection against future infections and disease. And if they're telling you that half this country's already been, like, you know, the estimation is that 160 million have been infected. 35 million, they tell us, have been verified, which is not verified. That's using a PCR test, which using a cycle threshold over 30 seems to have a wildly high false positive rate. And they're using up to 45. So you can put that math together for yourself. But the bottom line is, it's obvious that people who've had this, based on their own research we'll get into next, have the best protection. And they're telling you, based on their estimates, that most of this country, half this country, has already had that. So even if they believe that the injected have immunity, if you combine that with natural immunity, then we're over 100%. So we should be good. But we're not, though, because they're lying to you. Right. If natural immunity is as effective as they tell you it is, as even the WHO says here that 99% of people have it and nature says that it can last a lifetime, right? We'll get to that in a second. Then that means that natural immunity is outstanding. And if their narrative is correct and the injection does cause immunity, then if 50.5% of this country is injected, you add that with the natural immunity and we are literally over 100%. We are or just say we're 100%. So how then do you explain the Delta, the variants rising and falling? You don't, right? That, in my opinion, I think we just nailed it on the head right there. Think about that for a second. I think that's exactly why the variant discussion, or excuse me, the natural immunity discussion is being so just flagrantly ignored. Like it is just a red waving flag in your face. And they're going, well, we don't, we're just talking about vaccines and just completely ignoring it. Now, I just think I put this together. Now, if they're ignoring that, I think it's obvious it's because they do not want you to connect the reality that this can cause, or the reality that natural immunity is better. I think I just lost the thread there. Hold on. So what we're saying here that they get infected anyway. Right. So the variant, thank God. I don't want to lose that. So bottom line is, if we consider natural immunity, that completely challenges the variant conversation, right? Because their only reason the variant point makes sense to what they're saying is because the unvaccinated are creating this, they're making this thing evolve. But if we have natural immunity based on what the experts are telling us that we're supposed to trust, and then they tell us that 50% are vaccinated, how do you explain that? Right? I want to revisit that. That's an important point right there, because natural immunity is valid based on what they're telling you, based on what everyone is telling you, that this is obvious. It is durable and robust. Think about that. I mean, that's crazy to me. I had thought about that before. Now, going forward, it says, we got done with this. Please read this for yourself. Swiss Policy Research is just constantly nailing this. The next point, though, again, is that if natural immunity is lasting, and this, your shot only lasts 6 months, well, what does that lead to? Well, even a Swedish professor is already saying 5 shots of COVID may be necessary. Well, if it only lasts 6 months, it's probably going to be infinite number of shots every 6 months for the rest of your life. As she says, well, or this article says, many people have bragged about being fully vaccinated after taking 2 shots. A Swedish professor says that as many as 5 may be needed to combat failing immunity. Exactly. Biology says that a fading immunity response is not unlikely, except if you have a natural infection, then it's time for a 3rd, 4th, maybe even a 5th dose. Now, you know what I'm going to play, because I always want this to be remembered, because this is the point of why that's happening and why they're ignoring the natural immunity. The vaccine removes antibodies from your blood.
And your COVID-19 vaccine, you're going to want to listen to this. The Red Cross says anyone who has received their COVID-19 vaccine cannot donate convalescent plasma to help other COVID-19 patients in hospitals. That plasma is made up of antibodies from people who have recovered from the virus, but the vaccine wipes out those antibodies, making the convalescent plasma ineffective in treating other COVID-19 patients.
And they're funny how the facts and the data just don't matter, right? So you're forcing people who have natural immunity to get this injection, and that is removing antibodies that they would otherwise use for a lifetime of immunity against the thing, even the Delta variant. Because even that, we just showed you the research from Israel and multiple locations that are telling you that even against these future variants, the natural immunity is being shown to be effective, to be robust, to be durable. Now here, I want to jump into the natural immunity. I want to do this in the right flow, though. We'll come back to that. Yeah, I mean, I basically just showed you, but I'll make sure that's included for you to see. Now, they're pushing this in regardless of that, and they're forcing people to get this thing. And remember, if you've had it before, the research shows you that you're, in fact, at more risk of having a severe reaction because you have natural immunity. That's what the research shows us. But take a listen to what this Maryland nurse had to say about what she's seeing on the ground, which is just so crazy because nobody wants to listen to what these people are trying to tell everybody.
I'm a registered nurse, BSN, case manager in Baltimore. My grassroots boots on the ground report is that there's a lot of patients being injured. I've never seen anything like this. Since January, I've experienced personally 6 deaths, and I've lost count of the injuries. And we're not talking about typical adverse events like fevers, chills, sore muscles. I'm talking about things like urinating clots of blood, paresthesias, gastroparesis, altered mental status, respiratory arrest, cardiac arrest, new onset seizures, new onset diabetes. I have patients who can't walk anymore, patients who keep complaining that their feet and their hands are burning. They forget where they are. I've just never seen anything like this in all my years of practicing medicine. What I'm seeing now as time goes on is patients who were given the shot months ago that are now showing up in the hospital with equally strange and confusing events.
Now, just remember that this stuff has been reported to you already, right? I mean, we have literally shown you, I mean, Dr. Riedel, I mean, I play them at that clip all the time at the end. The guy saying that this is not the disease we're treating, right? He's watching all these ventilators kill people and he tried to speak out and he got censored, right? And look, we look back now and he was right. Right. He tried to save people's lives and he got attacked for it. And now he's been vindicated. And guess what? He probably has still lost his job. Or the doctors from Bakersfield who admitted all the stuff we've talked about. Right. This has been told to you. This is obvious that all the things she's saying are completely backed up by Vaers, by other doctors and nurses that have actually reached out to the British Medical Journal, reached out to the CDC, who have written them letters going, guys, I am outraged by this. I have half my staff out simultaneously for months at a time because of their injections. I'm watching patients die and nobody's explaining this to me. And all they do is censor them. Now, that doesn't mean because it's saying that or it's correlated with other people's comments that it's absolutely true. But this is backed up by the real world data. There's no way to ignore this when we're actually seeing it reported in Vaers, in other locations, and then have nurses saying this is what they're seeing and have doctors going, this is what we're seeing in my office. It's obviously tied together. This is being covered up in such an incredible way. Like, I just can't believe how obvious this is and how willing they are to keep pretending like this isn't happening. That just continues to show me what a serious issue we're in right now. They're seriously driving towards something. And they're willing to pull out all the stops.
Practitioners see this, their dissonance just flows, and they either ignore it or literally don't know what to do with it.
And remember, we've already told you that multiple doctors, some of which have spoken to me personally, are telling you that they are afraid. They see the problem, but they know that if they do, they'll end up like Dr. Jensen, who, by the way, who was also vindicated, proven to be right. And that guy's been attacked more than anybody. I shouldn't say that, but that guy has been attacked. I can't even believe lost his job, attacked, tried to lose his, went after his license, and he's been 100% proven right. And they're still going after him because he went against the narrative. You're not allowed to do that. And we're going to show him, right? These doctors and nurses and everybody, it takes a lot of courage to do this because they're afraid to stand up and point to what they're seeing because they know the media has already shown them what will happen to them.
Every healthcare professional working with patients across this country has to see what's going on. What else do I see on the ground? A lot of great suffering that isn't getting met with good care because we have no idea what to do with these patients who have been injured by, frankly, an experimental treatment. And there's no protocols to treat them. There's no information how to help them. And even breaking through the cognitive dissonance of physicians to accept this patient has been vaccine injured is a chasm. It's a huge chasm.
I'm still suffering from the effects of the COVID vaccine. I had the Moderna and I had my second shot on April 17th. So now it's June, 9th today? So I have stiff neck. My stiff neck is not going away. It's sore. I still have flu-like symptoms. So meaning body aches, joint pains, and tiredness that comes in waves. So when I wake up in the morning, I feel mostly normal. But then in about an hour or two, I start feeling, how you feel body aches. I start feeling it in my knees when I go up and down the stairs. My neck, always, when I wake up, my neck is always... And so now I'm working with, so by the way, I went to my primary physician. She says, yeah, I'm treating five people who have exactly like you. One of them is a neurologist. One of them is a nurse. And they were afraid to talk about their symptoms because they didn't want to be stigmatized and ostracized, because that's the culture we're living in now. You can't step out. Now, if I criticize Dr. Fauci, they'll call me a Trumper. So that's the world we're living in. My cardiologist, when I went in, I told him I was feeling, I wanted to check my heart, make sure I didn't have inflammation in my heart, which I go in tomorrow for the follow-up, find out. And I told him about, you know, I'm being, that this is from the vaccine I've been having. And he just shook his head. He goes, man, I'm seeing lots of bad reactions to this vaccine, everybody. Like that. That's what my cardiologist said. I then have another doctor who's on the forefront of treating people like me who are having side effects from the vaccine. Now, what is this going on? 2 months after, has not stopped. And he tells me there's thousands and thousands of people like me.
Pretty interesting, isn't it? Now, here's an interesting dynamic to think about. If Graham Elwood is only allowing people to his shows that have been vaccinated, what happens if the third one becomes mandated and Jimmy Dore doesn't want it because he knows what happened to him last time? Is Jimmy Dore not going to be allowed at Graham Elwood shows? You see how ridiculous this gets and how this line of like only vaccinated, this is absurd. And anybody out there going along with this, like the Offspring or these people that are being absurd, like showing you that they're fake, punk bands or fake anti-establishment or whatever, that's a problem. They're revealing to you that it's not really about, it's going along with the narrative, towing the line. That's frustrating, right? And I keep telling you, you could have both shots. And now all of a sudden they're going to say, well, now you need a third shot because you're waning immunity. Well, I got the infection before and I've already gotten two shots. I don't want a third one. Well, now you're an unvaccinated. Now you're an anti-vaxxer and you're a crazy conspiracy theorist. That is going to happen to people. It already has. I just talked about this. A woman was refused access because she didn't have her third shot. This is happening in places right now. In Israel, they're already giving it out. And if you don't have your third shot, you're no longer vaccinated. That is happening. So what's going to happen then? This is going to cause an interesting situation. It already has, and it's hurting people. As here's Braveheart actor dies after a heart attack after his third COVID shot, which is what the Swiss Policy Research was just telling you, the obvious increase in that problem. Michael Mitchell passed away 7 days after his Pfizer booster. Now, it could have been something else, but we are going to see more of this just like everything else, and they will refuse to acknowledge that it's connected because they just won't look into it. His family's calling it natural causes. His rep said it was suddenly after an experimental injection that you've never had after you're in perfect health or, you know, healthy. Mainstream media alludes to his heart attack 15 years ago. No mention of his unique vaccination status. Bodybuilder. Right. Yes, he's older, but he's a bodybuilder. Right. And fully vaccinated. Right. That's my third jab today. He got the third one, too. And then dies. Pretty frustrating, guys. I'm not saying you can prove for a fact, but the point is no one's willing to look at this. No one's willing to on that side to even entertain the possibility. Well, people die all the time. So how dare you suggest that? Well, how about the fact that it matters to know one way or the other and not just assume what makes it sound good for the agenda you're pushing? Right. It's incredible. But they're obviously now pushing it on children, regardless of any of that, regardless of all the data we just showed you and the information that shows you that this is not only not dangerous for most people, which we'll get into next, but especially children, because children are at 0% risk. But now they're going to say, well, we're going to give it to him anyway. And guess what? As Jonathan Van Tam just completely blanked on it. I think it was the UK. Anyway, Professor Jonathan Van Tam saying that there's no time to waste in exceeding the vaccine rollout and saying 16 to 17 year olds will not need parental consent to get injected. Isn't that interesting? So now we're just going, well, who cares? You know, we know you can't join the military. You can't smoke cigarettes. You can't have a beer, but we'll let you make a life-changing decision with an experimental unapproved injection medical treatment. Right. Oh, and you can also become a woman if you want without anything. Right. But those things are okay though, without life-changing decisions, but you can't have a beer though. Can't drive a car. Well, I guess 16, maybe. It's just crazy. Bottom line is this is illegal. And then because it errs on the side of what they've decided is good for you, we can just circumvent the law, right? Which shows you the law means nothing in regard to these people. But here's an interesting addition to that. We just talked about 16, 17 year olds. Well, guess what? Professor Wai Shen Lim is saying, well, why 16 and 17 year olds should be offered the injection. Great. So we're saying you don't need to ask your parents' permission, and now we're going to offer it to you. Perfect. Now, you can listen to this for yourself, basically saying the benefits of vaccination are greater for older children who are literally at zero risk statistically, but who cares? But you want to know what makes a difference? And maybe his, you know, a little insight into maybe why he's saying something that makes no sense whatsoever. Well, thanks to Pure Reflections for pointing this out. Here's the images he shared. Guess who he's associated with? 2021. Pfizer. What do you know? He's paid by Pfizer. Amount? Brand 3. What does that mean? Over 25,000 pounds. So it could be a million for all we know. Isn't that great? Yeah, someone says Van Tam is British. Okay, good. I thought so. But the point here is that this man is openly saying, yes, yes, we should get these kids injected. Even though they don't need it, they're not at risk, they don't spread it. Asymptomatic spread has already been shown to be non-existent, according to all the research. Of 10 million person study, only 300 people were asymptomatic and none of them were transmissible. None. And that's usually because people aren't transmissible without symptoms with a respiratory virus, just like what Fauci said in the beginning of all this. But everything changes in COVID clown world. But here he is going, yeah, those kids that don't need it, aren't at risk, that are actually adding risk by giving them things they might cause, like myocarditis, we're going to say they should get it because I am being paid by the company that's profiting from that action. Or that's how I look at it. Either way, it's incredible that people can be put in the news like this. And do you is it noted on the bottom? Does GB News say this person is paid by Pfizer? They're supposed to, because that's supposed to be journalistic integrity. But you know what? They don't care about that because this isn't journalism. It's propaganda. How pathetic. And just in, health ministers decide to offer vaccination for children from 12 and older in Germany. Except that decision contradicts the position by the Standing Commission on Vaccination. Of course it does, right? Because trust the science, right? Which still does not recommend general vaccination for minors. Great. So the politicians go, who cares what you think, scientists, except trust the science. And we're going to go ahead and do what we want, which is politics, because children should be this injected with this dangerous thing because that's the agenda. Right. Does that make sense to everybody? So trust the science, except when the scientists say what we don't like, then we ignore them and do what we want anyway. Trust the WHO. Don't challenge WHO unless they tell you to do something that we don't like. And then we do what we want anyway. Right. You're following here. You're getting how this works.
I'm going to say it again. We in the World Health Organization do not advocate lockdowns as a primary means of control of this virus.
And we've played to you that many times, right? And guess what they did after that? They continued the lockdowns. They're still doing it anyway, even though they don't need this to be the primary means, because it's not about a all-encompassing lockdown, which is what he says. If you go forward, all it does is make poor people an awful lot more poor. And they know that, right? That's what's happening right now. So don't challenge WHO unless we get to, because we don't like what they said, but you can't. Right? Trust the science unless we don't like what it says and we'll change it. But you can't, you should still trust it. You know, it's just so stupid. It's so flagrantly dishonest and right in your face that they're being hypocrites. I mean, how obvious does this need to get? You just get to disregard your panel because you, I mean, good God. And here is the point about the overarching discussion. We've already actually shown you this from right when it came out from James Lyons Weiler. But MDPI, this has just been published on this platform as well, November 22nd, 2020. I just want to read to you some of the abstract again. And this is specifically relative incidence of office visits and cumulative rates of billed diagnoses along axis of vaccination. Basically meaning it children who got vaccinated versus children who didn't get vaccinated and how often they were called into the doctor, how often they went to see the doctor, how often they had problems. You'll find this very telling. And of course, this is in the middle end of 2020. It's about all vaccination and records, which absolutely applies to where we are now. In fact, it's definitely different technology, 100%. I wouldn't even consider this a vaccination today. It's not. But if this is causing these and these are the normal ones, I can't even imagine what we're going to see today, because these things are far, far, far more dangerous just based on the VAERS reports, whether or not they're verified or not. The point is, you look at the ones from flus or anything else before compared to what we're seeing today, and they can't just deny it away by saying anti-vaxxers are lying on there, which, by the way, they've never proven, because it's, I'm sure, to some degree. How about also that there are pro-vaxxers lying on there, going on and saying, it turned me into the Hulk, which we already talked about, which actually happened, which they used as a point to make to say, see, we lied on here and we can do that. obviously, it's going both ways. It always does. And the reality is that most of those are probably correct based on the HHS and Harvard's information and everything else from before. But check this out. This is about vaccinations in general. We performed a retrospective analysis spanning 10 years of pediatric practice focused on patients with variable vaccination born into practice, presenting a unique opportunity to study the effects of variable vaccination on outcomes. The average total incidence of billed office visits per outcome related to the outcomes were compared across groups. Relative incidence of office visits, or RIOV, and RIOV office visits is shown to be more powerful than odd ratios of diagnoses, meaning at the end of the day, based on their research and based on what other people, the community has regarded that these, using these office visits, and I've actually seen this done in multiple studies elsewhere, are actually a more powerful tool regarding than odds ratios of diagnoses, is what they're saying. Now, it says many outcomes had high office visits ratio, again, it's ratio incidence of office visits, after matching for days of care. Okay. So what they're saying is asthma 3.4 points. It shows you the breakdown 6.3, 3.4, all significant under Z test. But then the point says remarkably zero of 561 unvaccinated patients in the study had attention deficit disorder compared to 5.3 and partially fully vaccinated. The point is these office visit outcomes are the people that were vaccinated. It says the implications of these results for the net public health effect of whole population vaccination with the respect for informed consent on human trials are compelling. Our results give agency to calls for research conducted by individuals who are independent of any funding sources related to the vaccine industry. Again, because of exactly what we've always known, that they are the people leading this astray, and they're people that are in control, know that, and are part of that same agenda now. That's why they are in lockstep. And yes, that's an intentional point, right? This is, they've gone away from anybody going, hey, they're lying. They're all in line together. Now, here's the bottom line. The data indicate that unvaccinated children in the practice are not unhealthier than the unvaccinated. And indeed, the overall results may indicate that the unvaccinated pediatric patients in this practice are healthier overall than the vaccinated. Please read this for yourself. There's a lot of data in here. Bottom line is unvaccinated children are far, far less, have far, far less office visits, billed diagnoses in general, and seemingly have no ADHD in regard to the people who are vaccinated, clearly have a lot more so, exponentially, it would seem, based on the data he's showing you. Correlation, causation, at the end of the day, this is something that continues to show you what we've always been pointing out. Not only that this, in general, practice of vaccinating in mass, in combination, without any real understanding of its side effects because of lack of testing, is dangerous. Bringing it to today, it's just exponentially worse. But the point is overall that you're not in danger anyway, right? This is something we keep telling you. Children are at a 0% risk. According to the 114 meta-analysis, 114 studies on infection fatality rate, your risk is it's 0.008%, I believe, under 25. That's a combination. The bottom line is statistically zero, according to you, or in regard to you. But to make that point even more clear, let's go to the University of Oxford risk calculator. Just so you can see, you just basically have to accept it. And I already did a couple of versions of it. So you can see here. I'll show, that's why I did this. I want to show you one real quick. Let me keep this here so you can access it for yourself and do it for yourself, you know, which is, again, always the point on the show, not just to tell you things, but to allow you to be able to do it for yourself. So I'll include this. But here you basically just pick, weirdly enough, you can only go 19 and up. I think that's quite telling. But you can just pick an age or, you know, and go up and you just pick male, female. Basically what I did for the most part was basically myself, male, you know, and basically broke it down like that. But you can categorize this by ethnicity. And of course, I did no comorbidities. That's important. None of them. No learning disabilities, which is odd that that's even included, by the way. Sickle cell, kidney disease, and all these different things, right? And I went forward. Okay, so the first one was me. That was this one here. I have these out of order. This one was me. So personally, based on my current situation, apparently according to Oxford University, my risk of dying from COVID is 0.003%. One in 33,333. COVID-associated hospital admission, meaning so just you get sick and go to the hospital but don't die, is 0.03%. That is far less than the flu. Far, far, far less than the flu. With like 0.1%, we're told, right? Okay, how about we go down to... Oh, see, I forgot. I knew I was going to do that. I wanted to... So I believe the next one I did was 19. I did mine, then I did 19 years old, which I expected to be the lowest I could get on that calculator because you couldn't go under 19. And that breaks down to 0.0006%. Your risk of dying, according to Oxford University, if you're 19 years old, in this case, a white male, that is generally, you know, middle, look into it for yourself. It doesn't change that much. I tried it based on whether you're, you know, 160 pounds, 180 pounds, and with no comorbidities. That's the important part. 0.006%. Now, another thing to point out, by the way, look at the difference between absolute risk and relative risk. This is how they tricked you in the beginning of all this. That was what that study called the elephant in the room, where nobody was addressing this, that Fauci used to manipulate. Relative risk points puts it at 3%. Right? That's crazy. But if you look at the, and this is up here, just 3. If you look at the absolute risk, it's at 0.0002%. Excuse me. That's with no factors. This is 0.006. Think about that. That's crazy. Now let's take it one step further. Here is 45 years old. 45 years old. I think 45 to 50. I mean, here, I just do one real quick. I don't want to waste the time. But anyway, so let's just say for 45. I should try to remember exactly what age I did. I did a couple of these and I thought it would say it at the top and I forgot. But the point is that, you know, getting close to where we're supposed to be at risk. 50 and over with comorbidities is where they claim it starts to go up. But look at this number. 45 years old. 0.0001. Really? Here, just in case. Let's do 50 years old. Well, let's do 45. See if that's close. Male, white background. I think it was, I don't remember what this was. 170, I think, the height. I can't remember what those break down to and the difference. Milligrams. Okay, none, no, none, and then none of these. Okay, no. Here, let's see what it breaks down to. So 45 years old. Okay, so I mixed them up, it looks like. But still, this is still the point. Yeah, I mixed the two up. Okay, so here's the breakdown. When they're telling you you're at risk. Let me just close this one too so it doesn't confuse that. 45 years old, 0.0029%. You watch me do it. This is from Oxford University. 45 years old, white male, no comorbidities. 0.002, guys. How are we pretending like people are at risk here? This is absolutely unreal. Why would you pretend you need something to keep you safe from a point? I mean, what would it be? 99.997 point. Like, that's crazy. That is absolutely staggering. They're pretending you're at risk when you're not. And now you add comorbidities, and that's what increases the risk, because that is what the real problem is. People are dying from problems. And that is why what the Swiss policy research showed you, that this is completely in line with natural mortality. People are dying when they're about 88 years old, regardless of whether, which they are lying to you across the board. It just can't be more obvious. You're not in danger. And that is why people like Sweden, or groups like Sweden, or countries like Sweden, are continuing to show you that. July, end of July, Sweden COVID death count is 0, with human liberty still intact, with businesses still moving and functioning, with the economy still operating, with people not having an increase of teen suicide by 150%, with people not having sprawling, grasping mental issues because of, I mean, good God, guys, they destroyed everything based on this, because that was what they were trying to use to rebuild. That's the point. What is it? Order out of chaos. Right? They are literally talking about building back better. How do we not see what's happening here? Sweden is proving that they don't need to do what everyone else did, and nobody wants to point to it anymore. That's what this person points out as well. So why is no one talking about Sweden in these scary Delta days? Oh, that's right. That's why. Because they're not at risk. Because they're showing you the reality. I It's just, oh, I should have, for the podcast, just showing you the breakdowns on these. But the bottom line is, guys, that you can show this information and see, there's still cases they're talking about, like everywhere else. But if they have zero deaths, well, that means that they're probably not using a faulty PCR test, which, by the way, they're not. This is an illusion, and it couldn't be more clear. Except the problem is that people like CNN and everybody else are, and all the businesses that are leaning into this are using this to create the illusion of a problem. And this is by the masks and everything else. Well, CNN actually just fired 3 employees for coming to work unvaccinated, as if it's like showing up without your shoes on, right? Like, it's just incredible. And its chief said the company has zero tolerance policy. Did you ask whether they got natural immunity? Right? What if they can't? What if they're immunocompromised? Right? What if there's 1,000 reasons? What if they have anaphylactic shock? What if they've got serious allergies and what the FDA themselves say you shouldn't even take this if you've got the possible of severe allergic reactions? Because CNN doesn't care about any of those facts. They only care about virtue signaling and pushing the narrative. Remember, this is happening all over the place. This was Canada. We just talked about this. A woman was trying to fly back in a journalist and was kicked out of Canada and forced to fly back to France despite having 2 negative tests, 2 antigen negative tests, 1 negative PCR test, and a signed documentation from her doctor that says she has lab verified natural immunity. Now, of course, somebody points this out the other day and says, how can you have lab verified natural immunity if this doesn't exist? And that's a fair point. But remember, and this is into the isolation discussion, because we just talked about this, they have not proven this is isolated. I've done entire shows on this. I've talked to experts about this. People disagree. But the point is to remember, just because they haven't shown you that it's been isolated doesn't mean that it hasn't been. I'm with you in the agreement that if this hasn't been proven to be isolated, I'm not believing. I'm still leaving that open caveat that it might not even actually be there. But it could also be that isolation proved something they didn't want anybody to see. Maybe that it was made in a lab. Maybe that it came from a specific location. I don't know. So there's also the possibility that not showing us that data is because there's more to the story. I'm not saying that's the case, but we should consider that. So in this case, when you have some, and remember that people are using lab verified based on genetic sequence and code they've been told is this thing. So for all we know, that's just a flu variant and they're testing and saying, yes, it's there, right? Remember, it's not as cut and dry as we're trying to make. We got to be open to all the information. So the bottom line is this person's being told they have natural immunity from whatever they were told that was. Maybe it wasn't COVID. Regardless, you see my point, right? I hope. So she's being told she's got this natural immunity, regardless of whether it's even true. She's got a piece of paper from a doctor that says, yes, yes, it's right there. That should be enough in this clown world they're creating, except it's not really about verification of natural immunity. It's about verification of injection. Even though their experts tell you this is valid. That's how ridiculous this is getting. Now, she was forced to pay money, fly back to France, and it just gets ridiculous. But remember, this is from July 26th. Natural immunity after COVID-19 found durable and robust, right? You can read this for yourself. The information's quite sound. So is Nature, one of the most highly respected scientific publications in the world, as far as I understand it. May 26th, all the way back in May. No one cared then. Had COVID, you probably make antibodies for a lifetime. And it says down here, because it's specifically, or up here, it's in your bone marrow. And it says right here. Why is that acting funny? There we go. It says it could make it possibly for most of your lives. I've shown you this many times, right? So if we have Nature telling you based on their scientific peer-reviewed research that this, or not Nature's research, but posted on Nature, telling you that this is possibly causing antibodies for your lifetime, if not decades, your lifetime, right? That's very clear. And that possibly lasting your lifetime immunity is durable and robust, meaning it's not going to go away. Then the WHO comes in and says, well, of that durable, robust, lasting immunity that can in your bone marrow for your lifetime, almost 99% of people, 90 to 99% of people who've had the injection end up getting that durable, robust, lasting immunity that can stay in your bones for the rest of your life. Are we clear so far? I think that's pretty obviously clear. Some of the 3, and I'm not even going to show you the NIH one that also says that, because who cares about the NIH at this point? But the point is that all of them are saying this. NIH, the WHO, the Nature Scientific Research, other scientific peer-reviewed publications. I mean, this just gets absurd. And here they are firing people without even considering that. What does that show you? Here again is the link to the tag of natural immunity, where this show will be in here next, because I talked about it again. This is ongoing, guys. And I've talked about this for a long time. This goes back pretty far. I mean, at the very least, I think it's further than this one, but back to 3/10/21, right? I've been trying to tell you guys about natural immunity discussion, and that's not because I necessarily buy into the entire point. It's because within their narrative, that is a weak point, and it shows you that they're lying to you. Because if they're going to admit that that's the case and then kind of like clumsily pretend it's not there, again, I think we hit the nail on the head here. I think this is showing you because they're afraid to admit this because that would destroy the variant narrative. How can we have half this country with natural immunity and the other half with injected immunity tell us lasts, even if it's only 6 months, and then pretend the variants are popping up because of the people that have natural immunity that's better? Obviously, that doesn't connect, does it? They're trying to scare you and lie to you into getting this thing. Now, think about it this way. If 35 million people verified have natural immunity, and you add that to the 160 plus million, even that is getting close to the percentages they tell you for herd immunity, right? I'm not saying I believe necessarily any of their data, but within their narrative, it's a no-brainer that they're hiding things from you. I don't know how that can get any more clear. Now, on top of all of that, they're forcing this in. They're forcing in the concept that you are putting people at risk. All the people out there that are unvaccinated, that have already been sick, they claim that have already gotten this and don't need an injection, and that point back to the data that proves that's the case. Here is the USA Today. I couldn't bring it up because I'll just show you. This is what, you know, non-failing journalist outlets do, right? You can't even look at the title, $4.99 per month if you want. Yeah, that's terrible, right? I don't do that. Most independent media doesn't do that. I mean, they do like PayPals and Patreons, right? But they're like completely paywalling everything. That's what failing outlets do, right? Because they're failing. They need money bad. But the point is, you can see the title right here. The unvaccinated don't have the right to give us COVID? Crack down on them, not us? Now, first of all, you have to realize this is the mainstream media very clearly painting a line here. Us versus them. You crazy unvaxxers versus us sane, smart people trusting the science, right? There's a line there. We're not dividing anybody, right? This is all about division, guys. I mean, this is crazy. How are you going to crack down on somebody choosing not to take something that they have a right to say no to? This is crazy where we've gotten to today. Even Joe Rogan over there spinning out going, yeah, the gyms and the restaurants, how is this possible? Right? It's so obvious. This is against everything we pretend we are. Pretend that we are. Don't have a right. So how is it like, so how are we pretending like we're, it's like our right. It's our right to get you sick. No, it's our right to not be forced an experimental medical intervention that's not approved, period. And what they're saying is that by us pretending like, and now they're trying to like undermine the rights, like, oh, them and they're, you know, whining about their constitution. It's like, where do you think you live? Like, how disgusting is that? The person that's undermining the constitution then swings around later and screams about how we care about free speech and our constitution. It's just, it's a tool they're using. Biden and Paskey and everybody else, a tool they're using to push you on something, when in reality, they're constantly undermining exactly that. Don't have a right. It's just, they're trying to paint you as doing something wrong. That's the reality. And here is just an overview of all the different articles that parroted that same exact talking point. I never even heard of this outlet, this group before, but it's like aggregation kind of thing, summaries of health policy coverage, and it says perspectives. The time has come for vaccine mandates, right? Remember that fake news topic we were censored for? Dangerous misinformation talking about, right? I just want to point this again. 2020, anyone claiming there's a plan to implement vaccine passports is a conspiracy theorist and their dangerous misinformation must be stopped. Jump to 2021. Anyone opposed to vaccine passports is a conspiracy theorist and their dangerous misinformation must be stopped. Yeah, exactly. That vaccine mandate, which was never going to happen because we're crazy, right? Health insurance discounts. So now again, we're creating more of a divide. We're saying we're going to give you discount. This is social credit being based on a biosecurity state. But here's every one of them. Washington Post. It's time to admit the vaccine campaign has its limits. Mandates are the only way forward. These are all the media outlets that are telling you that you don't have a choice. Despite just moments ago telling us we were crazy conspiracy theorists for pretending that we would not be given a choice. Think about how dumb that is. Would you get a COVID shot for a lower health bill? Jeez. New York Times, don't want a vaccine. Be prepared to pay more for your insurance. about face on mask. I mean, this is just ongoing stuff. They're constantly leaning into this, guys. It is everywhere. Here is Cuomo saying that he's recommending all these businesses require proof of vaccination, which is what we told you would happen. We're not doing anything. We're just recommending that they do exactly what we told you wouldn't happen, right? And that's called financial coercion. Exclusion. That's what I was using in the beginning. Financial and societal exclusion. Same difference, really. Well, not really in the context of this coercion being forcing you into it, but the idea of where they lead, right? They're just boxing you out and then forcing you in a lot of different ways. And that's what this is. This is government action, no matter how you spin this. Broadway audiences will need proof of vaccination and masks. Are they going to be checking for immunity? No, just vaccination. Of course, because that's the narrative. Way to toe the line, New York Times. Good job. Just in, the fourth largest football club, FC Cologne, or I may be pronounced differently in a different country. Of course, hashtag boycott that group. Will only allow fully vaccinated people into the stadium from the coming season. I hope they fail and they never and they lose all their money because they won't because of what they're doing. Making it the first I think that's the location club. Oh no, that's the guess the club of this soccer club, the football club in Germany to bar all unvaccinated fans. Barring them all, right? So they're willing to bar half their country or, you know, a large portion of people because they're not taking a medical intervention. Scary where we are right now. Dr. Fauci screaming, expect a flood of COVID-19 vaccine mandates. Right. Do you remember the exact thing that Fauci himself said wouldn't happen? But now expect a flood of them, though, because I'm a hypocrite and a liar. After full FDA approval, this is the USA Today again, being stupid. There's no such thing as full FDA approval, you lying manipulators. There's either approval or there's emergency authorization. All they want you to think is that we kind of have some approval. No, you don't. It is not approved. And I've shown you this 1,000 times over, but they keep pushing it in. They keep trying to lie to you. Let's see if it's updated, in fact, as of, nope, still June 25th. There is no FDA-approved vaccine to prevent COVID-19, right? So if there's partial approval, then that would make FDA a liar, wouldn't it? It's just so stupid. Like how often this is called medical misinformation. This is called propaganda, but we're the ones that get censored. You confused? FDA approval is coming just like we told you it would, because these groups aren't actually fighting for your safety, but it's going. And I agree with this. They're going to push in these mandates, despite the fact that there's over 500,000 reports of adverse events. There's over, what was it now? It's probably over 6,000 deaths. Reported that no one's investigating. The swine flu almost stopped after 53 various reports of death. Unverified. 53 unverified death reports. They stopped it all. Over 5,000. And we are like, yeah, we don't know for sure. Keep taking it though. Make sure those kids get it. This is scary. Like people are going to look back on this and be like, wow, that was some unnerving stuff right there. This is going to be like, I mean, look, there's a lot of people comparing it to what we're told the Nazi situation was like. And even like Holocaust survivors saying this is worse than what they went through. That's not fake news, guys. There's real people out there saying that. And I'm not looking back on this. We're going to realize how right they were. This is some unnerving stuff that's happening. And guess what? Unless we stand up, this is going to happen. They're going to force this down your throat. It's time to stand up. Just like these people are. Large protests underway in Paris. And as always, the mainstream media is never going to show you this. They're protesting against vaccine passports and mandatory vaccinations. Guys, you are not alone. The world is on your side. That's what I keep trying to tell everybody. Do not get lost in the aggressive propaganda because they're not giving you the full picture. Here are Italians burning proof of vaccination passes. They refuse to comply with the creation of their two-tier society, one that doesn't protect anyone. It simply discriminates. Exactly. Now, that's an interesting new discussion that even Joe Rogan was touching on. And I don't know if I even buy this, to be honest. They're claiming that the predominant amount of unvaccinated people in this country specifically are minorities. Now, I don't know if that's true. I don't even know why. I mean, it doesn't even make sense with what I've been seeing, but you know, who knows? Maybe it is. The point, regardless, is it makes an interesting point that a lot of people on one of the sides of the false two-party dichotomy are clearly invested in and will, I think, kind of be concerned when this come to confront their push for mandatory vaccination or passports in general, which is that this seems to be overly affecting people of color. suddenly they're going, oh my gosh, wait a minute. We can't segregate and discriminate against only people of color with these vaccine passports. Well, wait a minute. We're hurting people if we don't force in vaccine passports. Like, oh, what are you going to do now? You have two conflicting things, right? This is where all of this has gone, right? My body, my choice, except no longer in vaccine world. And we'll pretend like those two things don't come together. The point is right now that there's an argument circulating that this is almost completely affecting minorities. And that seems to be like compared with, you know, whites allowed over here, blacks allowed over there. And people are, it's, you know, at the very least, whether it ends up being a valid statistical point, it's clearly waking some people up to how ridiculous this is. So why not point it out? But I'm going to wait for the data to be able to say that effectively, right? That's, again, prove what we're going to say. But this shows you this. I mean, it's like wartime, guys. It's like burning your draft cards. This is serious stuff. And around the world, people are standing up. Check this out. Denver Police Union saying cops will not abide in Denver by the mayor's order for city workers to get vaccinated. 57% of officers are unvaccinated. The union itself, as all, a lot of these unions have been calling out Biden, they're just ignoring it, saying, quote, officers should be trusted to make their own choices. How much you want to bet they quietly let them do that and still force it on you, right? Of course. Regardless, the point is that they almost 60%, that number seems to ring true around the world. 60% of nurses, 60% of Marines, 60% of Denver police officers, maybe 60% of the country. Certainly possible. Right now, half at the very least, 49.5 is I think where it's at right now, unvaccinated. So, and that's based on what they're telling us, which I don't trust. I didn't trust, but when it told us it was 55% unvaccinated, I don't trust the data they're giving us. This is showing you, and it's not as clear cut as they're making it. This is going to become a real issue, especially if we all stick to our guns. And I don't mean literal guns. I mean, stick to our integrity and stand by what we believe in and nonviolently refuse to budge. That's what I think. That's my opinion, but I know people disagree with that. Dana White, thank you for standing up for people. This is actually, I'm really glad to see this. And I'm sure, I bet you Jason Burmes loved this. I know he's super, you know, he talked to a lot of UFC fighters. And I actually would love to hear his thoughts on this. Dana White says UFC will not require fighters to get vaccinated for COVID-19. And that could alter plans for the promotion to return in New York City. How much you want to bet that affects New York City's decision about this? You know how much money they're going to lose if that happens? A lot. And of course, we know that money matters most to some of these sycophants. But it says, quote, You're never going to hear me say I'm going to force people to get vaccinated. Never going to happen. Good man. I mean, that bottom line, regardless of what you think about the person, that shows you that, at least in my opinion, that he's somebody who's not completely part of this problem, right? That's a hard stance to take right now. But I believe he knows he's insulated because UFC's always kind of been its own thing. You know what I mean? Like, they're kind of disconnected from everything else. It's like, it's weird. We're like enforcing all these rules for football and rest, everything else for endangering their heads. And it's like UFC is just like, who cares? Let them beat each other to hell. You know, it's weird. It's like they're in this own little area, which I love. I'm glad, I wish it was still going back even further to when it was, you know, the ninja versus the karate guy. I love back when that's what it was like, super different. Anyway, getting off the point, but good for him for standing up for people. Because that's what people need. The fighters in there that don't have a voice, a lot of the big ones do, but there's a lot of people in this community that don't have a book, they're not big following, and he just took a stand for them. That takes a lot of courage. This person, I'm not even sure who this was, award-winning documentary film producer, makes a great point here. He says, if the unvaccinated won't get access to public services, it's only fair that they don't pay taxes. That's quite interesting, isn't it? In conjunction with the next point, as James Lyon Weiler points out, in Philadelphia, you cannot collect unemployment unless you're vaccinated. Isn't that great? So these people that literally lost their job, they lost their entire their livelihood because of the government lockdown that was unnecessary and unjustified. Now they don't even get unemployment unless they get the injection. You don't think that's on purpose? We need to see how all of this is leading in the same direction. It says, so why should workers pay into a system from which they cannot derive benefit? That's a great point. Why are we paying taxes? I guess it's a similar, same point. Taxes in regard to working, you know, in your paycheck. Same idea. Public services. Why should we be paying into a system that's going to box us out? Maybe we should take a stand in that regard. Vote with your dollar, huh? But guess what Preston here has to say? Very intelligent. It's not that simple. The unvaccinated have caused a devastating burden on our economy? Hold on a second. Are we really... I believe we're going to see this shift going forward. They are literally, in my opinion, going to try to superimpose the unvaccinated back to the economy point and say, Well, it's because of the unvaccinated, who, by the way, didn't have the ability to get injected back when we first imposed the lockdowns, which destroyed the economy. And we're going to pretend like it's their fault that this economy has been destroyed, even though we destroyed the economy with the lockdowns that went into place before the vaccine was being administered. Make sense? That's the COVID clown world we're in. But apparently now the unvaccinated destroyed the economy. Isn't that great? And we destroyed social services and health services, despite the fact that this has only been happening since the beginning of the year. And we've barely even seen, I mean, this is getting ridiculous. Everything under the sun is now the unvaccinated fault without any data to back it up. Most of which is funded by taxes. The unvaccinated need to have their tax date rate doubled. Isn't that great? Now you need to pay more taxes because you didn't do something, because you haven't been taking an experimental, unapproved medical intervention. But this is a free country though, right? This is crazy. People believe this. And somehow that your lack of a choice is a burden on the economy because vaccinated people are getting sick. And New York Times, though, don't worry, or excuse me, the New York Post is reporting, so don't worry, that the Army gives Pfizer $3.5 billion contract to make 500 million COVID doses. Great. Right? So 500 million. So you would need arguably 300 or plus to vaccinate the rest of the country that's already gotten it, right? So just be aware that those extra, they clearly are being used for boosters and the things there. This is already going forward. For all of you out there that think that's not going to happen, they're not investing billions of dollars in something that they're not going to use. It's coming your way. Now, finally, on lockdown to finish off the show today, which, by the way, is coming back, which I believe we're going to see in this month, most likely, based on all the indications we're seeing. A lot of whispers and talk about this happening, but this is not a secret. It's not hard to see the indications, regardless of whether people have inside sources saying, I've heard so-and-so. I could have told you it would happen based on what they're whispering, right? The indications, look at the cases rising, the new Delta variant. Oh my gosh, it's all coming back around. Yep. You can feel when it's coming, guys. It's happening. And they're going to do it again because this is the model. They've already told you this. Germany is preparing a new lockdown already. Bild has obtained an internal document that has proposed restrictions that would apply only to unvaccinated citizens. Right? How about that? How about an unvaccinated lockdown? Wouldn't that be interesting? Then you're caught on the streets without your vaccine card. Now suddenly you're a criminal. Who cares about natural immunity, right? This is coming. And here's what's happening to people who are protesting those lockdowns. Children being beaten by cops in the street in Germany. That's what's happening there. But it's all good though, because freedom, right? Well, we hate Syria and we hate Afghanistan, but let's let the German police beat up children in the streets because they don't like an illegal lockdown. That's okay though. That's great. Hits the kid so hard in the leg that he drops his baton. Yeah, good times though. It's all about freedom, right? Now I want to just kind of wrap by pointing this out. I the mask conversation would have added another hour to the show. And I think we're about 220. That's good. But I'm going to talk about this in the next show. I just want to point this out to wrap up. This doctor's pointing out new peer-reviewed study shows that aerosols, oh my gosh, shocking, play a major role in COVID transmission. Quote, fine aerosols constituted 85% of the viral load detected. What do you know? Where have you heard that before? You mean every single mask thing I've done since the beginning of this conversation has been pointing you to aerosolized particulates? Why? Because that's what the scientific research has always said. The only thing that changed that was because Fauci and people on the news said droplets because masks stop droplets and they treated like children. But here we are again. And this doctor's clearly on our side in this. He says masks can block droplets, not aerosols. But even the droplets, remember, based on the research we've shown you many times, cloth masks, 97% of the time, even droplets get through. Cloth, and that's why they forced cloth on everybody and told that's the CDC made you, that's what everyone should wear. And 90% of the country's wearing cloth masks. But not aerosols. Time to abolish all 9 scientific mask mandates. Yep. All of them in general. Exactly. We're going to talk about this next show though, because I got to get back into the mask conversation because there's been so much going on there. We've driven that into the ground. The mask conversation we have debunked 100 times over. I don't say that very often. I don't even use the term debunked. We have literally shown you the real world evidence that's peer reviewed from before this started and all the way to now. It undeniably shows you everything we've shown you, that it causes bacterial pneumonia, oral thrush leads to bacterial pneumonia in your lungs, that it can cause a periodontal disease, as well as systemic inflammation, and the fact that these things cause infections, which can lead to a lot of other things. I mean, it's just crazy. On top of that, that machine measured in labs from NIH and other people from before that proved it can cause hypoxia, hypercapnia. All this has been verified. That's why I just kind of put it down for a minute, because they just keep repeating the lie. And every show, I'm like, well, here's the truth again. It just gets ridiculous. But thank you for tuning in today. Thank you for being here and getting this information out with me, despite the constant suppression. As I keep telling you, I'm not going to stop doing this. If it takes me an hour before every show to have to reset everything up, that's just the cost of doing business for me, because it's about you and I'm not going to stop. I don't care what they put in my way. We'll keep doing this because it's the right thing to do. And you know, what's interesting is kind of a personal note from everything that's happening around PayPal and things that I don't even talk about on the show, financial things that they're attacking in my real life. They're trying to turn us into criminals, whether actually on paper or just make us feel like we're doing something wrong. They steal my account. They take the PayPal account. And, you know, so we're trying to find ways to make this happen. And it makes you feel like you're trying to do something wrong, even though we're not, even though everything we're doing is completely on the up and up, because we're going out of our way right now to establish this in a legitimate way, even though I never really wanted to do that, because we're trying to keep ourselves, you know, talking to lawyers and making sure that we're established, because this is coming. They're coming after us. But we're not breaking any laws. We're not doing anything wrong. In fact, what we're doing, in my opinion, is striving to be the highest level of integrity that we possibly can. And you know what? We fall short sometimes, like everybody. But it just makes you sick that they're turning people like that, people like myself, that are going out of their way. And in all honesty, because of choices I've made in my past that drive me to be the best person I can today, that they're making people like that feel like they're bad people, they're criminals. And it's just wrong. So thank you for fighting for us, fighting for people that don't have a voice. Fighting for everybody, because this is not going to stop until we stop it. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.